This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Happy Friday. It is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I am not Steve Cochran. I'm Brian Noonan. Steve has been on vacation this week. He'll be back with you on Monday. Most of the crew also on vacation this week. But listen, they brought in a strong bench. I'll throw myself in that group. Andy Mazur is here. He is handling sports for Dave. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I am dandy. Good to see you with a giant coffee. We're ready to go. We're going to stay caffeinated. Laura Vaughn is in for Mary Vandeville. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Noonan.
Oh, I have never heard that, Laura. That was unique and clever.
It's a Seinfeld reference.
I know exactly what it is. I was being sarcastic to start.
Nobody ever says that to you?
Yes. Between that and the Danny Noonan from Caddyshack. Yeah, miss it.
Noonan.
Yeah. So I've never heard those. But listen, it's early. We got a big day planned. Michael Heidemann is in for Kevin. He is producing the program. If you call a 312-981-7200 and you are nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. You can keep up with us on social media as well. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. And listen, the text number is the same as the phone number. You know all of that. We have a lot of stuff to give away today, Andy. It's like the holiday season. I am Santa Claus today.
Yeah, I heard you have Blackhawks tickets.
I've got Blackhawks tickets that we're going to give away at 7:20. I've got tickets to the Miracle on Jerry Wells Street live radio performance that we're doing next Friday right here at WGN Radio. I've got those to give away. I've got a ski trip that I'm going to give away, a two-day ski trip. When did I say I was giving those away? I'll have to tell you that later. Anyway, the Blackhawks tickets at 7:20, the Miracle on 34th Street tickets at 8:20. We're also going to talk to a bull rider, an actual man who, for his job,
Rides bulls.
So he's going to come in. We're going to have a performance from the Lion King. The Andrews High School Choir is going to join us as well. And, of course, we'll have Lou Manfredini with Lou's First Call. That coming up at 6:20. A giveaway there, too. So lots of things. And we're giving stuff away during Steve's First Call at 6:40. So, man, that's not too bad. Not too shabby. Look who's here. Steve Alexander is here as well.
Hey, good morning.
Steve is here, and Vic Vaughn is in for Andreas. So there's if you're keeping score at home and you're trying to figure out who's who today.
Good luck.
There's the lineup. That's who's here. We can't tell you we're here until 10 or until the coffee runs out, and then Andy and I will just
I'm out.
You
know, yep.
Take off. Steve will have to hold down the fort with Laura. That'll be the
new
show.
We got this.
Steve and Laura in the mornings.
Okay.
All right. Listen, why not?
Amen.
Are you? You ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bring it on.
There was a big story yesterday about all the jobs that are leaving Illinois and that companies, and this is something I didn't realize, and I probably should have, but not being business savvy, that companies have to let the state know well in advance that they're going to be doing major layoffs and things like that. And so the state's losing a number of big companies, and what was it, 19,000 jobs?
Yeah, I didn't see the number. Is it a net loss?
Yeah, it was all these layoffs and
so more layoffs than additions.
Yes,
was that the story?
Well, the story was that these companies had filed that they were going to do the layoffs, and then they were going. Well,
and that doesn't count the small companies, right? This is only the big companies.
Only companies 75 employees or more have to report that they're going to be shutting down or doing layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the context is important. If it's and I didn't see the story.
Okay,
Orion was working yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
If it's a net loss, then that's interesting. If it's if it's just that's the number of layoffs without knowing what the number of additions are, that's another story.
Yeah, this wasn't talking about the additions. This was just talking about the actual amount that we'd be losing by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the city especially is very. On top of it when announcing all of the companies that are moving into the city and adding X number of jobs and all that.
Right.
And there's been a lot of activity in that area over the past year.
Well, I was just trying to look it up to see if I could get all the details. I saw it yesterday, and then I saw it again this morning, and I just kind of I went, oh, yeah, I got to ask Steve about that, because anytime you got all these people losing their jobs.
Are you feeling kind of a negative mood today? Is that what?
No, I'm actually in a great mood. I'm a little. I'll be honest. I'm a little drowsy because I got about 3 hours sleep.
Why?
I was out hosting. I was emceeing a charity event last night for the Leukemia Research Foundation.
Oh, really? That's right. I remember that.
Which was it was a great event. A lot of fun. A lot of people showed up. Where they had a new band. It was classic rock. So it was all the rock that I. It was funny watching. The guys in the band were all about 50.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people in the crowd were 30 to 55, and a lot of Journey, some Kansas, Brian Adams, all the classic rock. Where this one drunk guy walked up to me. They were playing REO Speedwagon, Time for Me to Fly.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy walked up, and he had a couple of cocktails. There's nothing wrong with that. He said, "Man, isn't this the greatest song?" I was like, "Yeah, it's a pretty good song. I like REO Speed." "No, man, you don't understand. This is the greatest song. Kids today, they're listening to the hip-hop and all that. Nothing against that. But this is music. They need to know this. Kids don't know this music. This is the greatest music." I was like, okay. And you know, I don't know if you've been in the conversation when you're sober and you're a drunk person is talking to you and you can't get out of that conversation fast enough. Kind of how Andy's looking at me right now. I don't think he's drunk, but this is not a conversation I want to be involved in. Yeah. But that was how I was because I was drinking water. I had to come in and do this.
Mm-hmm.
But he was he was adamant that REO was the song.
Nice.
And it was because he made out to that song in high school.
Oh yeah.
That was, and all of a sudden all these feelings were coming back, and he didn't know how to channel them. And I looked like a receptacle for his feelings, which not really the case, but I was happy he had a good time. So thanks to everybody who was at the benefit last night. It was a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, we'll look at a couple headlines, and Steve will take a first look at business. All that before news at the bottom of the hour. It is 720 WGN. Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. We'll have Lou's first call at 6:18. So if you have a question for Lou Manfredini, be ready. We'll also have Steve's first call after the 5:30 news, where you can win valuable prizes. And by valuable prizes, I mean valuable prizes. I couldn't legally say that if it were not true, because I am nothing if not an ethical host. All right, a couple of the headlines we'll be following today. I'm sure Vic is busy writing the news right now. From the Tribune, students struggle with a PARCC test, even at elite schools. And we know that the No Child Left Behind has been changed, so a lot of these tests will be gone, which is good. We'll talk about this a little later, too. The Cook County police officer was on the scene of the Laquan McDonald shooting, but no reports were filed. Another day, another story of trouble with the police. Wheaton College students condemn Jerry Falwell remarks. President Obama is concerned about Chicago amid the tumult, according to spokespeople. And the Cubs' attention, as Andy I'm sure we'll get to, Cubs' attention shifts focus to free agent outfielder Jason Hayward. When they start leaking that stuff, Andy, does that mean it's real, or are they just floating things out there to kind of get people all nuts?
This is real.
This one's real?
Yeah, but right now it's a couple of teams, actually, with the Cubs.
It's a bidding war, right?
Yeah, the Cardinals are in there, and apparently so are the Washington Nationals.
Is that right?
For some reason. Not exactly sure how they snuck into the picture there.
Because they opened their checkbook.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Hello, we have money, too. We'd like to talk about that. All right, a lot more sports coming up. But now, let's take the first look at business with Steve Alexander. It's sponsored by First Merit Bank.
Good morning. In for a big O, who's he's out saving the world once again. Dow futures right now down about 150 points.
I just picture him with a cape now.
Well, he should have a cape.
He should have a cape with a big O on the back.
Yeah.
Nice.
And big O on the chest.
There it is.
Absolutely. Dow futures were down 150 points for a brief moment. Let's see where they are right now. Down 146, close enough. S&P 500 futures down 15.5. NASDAQ futures are down about 41 points. Big news coming out today that will possibly drive the market includes the producer price index coming out at, 8:30 our time, and I get the proper time on that. Yeah, 7:30 our time, we'll get the producer price index, and also retail sales over the last month, and business inventories and consumer sentiment all scheduled to come out at about 9 o'clock our time. The International Energy Agency issued another report about the glut of oil globally, and it said it's getting bigger. And the reason this time it's getting bigger is demand is going down. It's okay for oil to glut and, you know,
right.
be more on the market as long as demand stays high. But when demand starts to fall off, that becomes more troubling. And we're seeing that reflected again in the commodity prices. Crude oil futures this morning down another 1.3% at $36.25. That's also a part of what's driving the equity market's lower. As I mentioned, Dow futures are down about 100 points. Gold is trading down about $7.50 right now at $10.64. And let's see where the dollar is at. Dollar is up a little bit this morning, just slightly. Your comed bill, this get your happy days are here again song ready to go. Your comed bill is going to go down about $1 a month.
Is that right? What will I do with all that extra cash?
What are you going to do?
I'm flush with cash.
Yes, you are. This is a result of the smart metering. Did they install a smart meter in your place
There's
yet?
Not much smart at my
no,
house.
No, not too much smart
no,
going on.
Not a lot of smart.
The ComEd's been has installed about 2 million smart meters around its system, and this reduces manpower and all of that labor costs. So that will be reflected in your bill going down about $1 a month.
We like that.
Important in the business world is the messaging and how people receive your messages. And we are learning this morning that when you are texting someone, and
yes.
I presume this, I won't presume this, but when you use a period at the end of a sentence as you
I
text.
I heard this, yeah.
Now, we're of an age, all of us, that mm-hmm. We were taught that when you write a sentence, you put a period at the end.
Exactly.
Now, when you text, do you guys do you use proper punctuation?
I do.
I do too.
Shame I stopped.
On you.
Texting or using proper punctuation?
No, I stopped using punctuation in text except for exclamation points.
Okay. Well, you're way ahead of us. Exclamation points are actually good to use when you are texting. Periods are seen as unfriendly.
Well, very apt then. Really? So
yeah.
I end the sentence and now I'm unfriendly.
Yes. If you put a period at the end of your sentence when you're texting, that's seen as being unfriendly let's
you know
look
who
at the
sees
sample
it as unfriendly?
Yeah.
People who are too dumb to use punctuation. That's who thinks it's unfriendly.
Well, I should tell you, the sample group were college kids, undergrads. So,
yeah.
You have a hoverboard? Do you have a hoverboard?
No, not after I saw them blowing up everywhere.
Well, they've been banned by airlines. Airlines
really?
Will not allow hoverboards to be checked as luggage because of the lithium batteries
right.
that you mentioned it, the fires that have occurred
yes.
with hoverboards. Well, these lithium batteries, they can catch on fire, and well before the hoverboard incidents, airlines started to ban lithium batteries from being checked in luggage because they could combust.
Oh, okay.
So,
I didn't know that.
And that's the problem with hoverboards. So if you're off to grandma's house for Christmas, you cannot take your hoverboard with you if you're going on an airplane.
Well, you're going to be in a plane. That's cooler than hoverboarding. You should just enjoy the fact that you're on a flight. The miracle of air travel. Enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, the problem with hoverboards before the fires started was that there was a large increase in emergency room visits from people falling off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andy seems like a guy who would hoverboard.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to hover.
No, you don't. I'm supposed to be on terra firma. I don't like to hover.
Let's look at the Chicago Board of Trade, where corn right now is down about a penny. That's three quarters of a cent at 378.5 a bushel. Soybeans at 880.75, up 2.5 cents. Wheat trading down about 2 at 493.5 a bushel. Gold is trading $8.60 lower at 1063. Platinum is down $10. You got a lot of platinum around the house there, Brian?
A lot of platinum, sure. Yes, okay. I actually have all my bathroom fixtures are made of platinum.
Oh.
Yes, I'm very swanky.
Wow.
Don't have a smart meter, but I have platinum toilets.
$10 lower at $8.45 an ounce. And crude oil, as I mentioned, down 1.3%, $36.28. Stock futures way lower. Dow futures down 133.
Wow.
That's a look at your money on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Steve. We'll have news after this on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The live part is correct, the Allstate Showcase Studio part is correct, and technically the Steve Cochran Show part also correct. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's on vacation. He'll be back with you Monday morning. It's me, Brian Noonan. Had the pleasure of being here all week with Steve's crew, and now the excellent people who get to join me today, because Andy, Steve's crew all decided to take Friday off.
Yeah,
they're all done. They've had enough.
This is the shuffled line, Coach Q. We're over the boards. We're on the ice right now.
Management always likes it. Yeah, well, let's not say that, Laura. Let's just say, as Andy said, they shuffle the line. They see what combinations work.
Exactly right.
So today, Andy is on sports. Laura is on traffic. Vic is on news. Steve is where he's supposed to be, doing business and doing his paper route, which is very nice. Thank you. Another glorious day in December in Chicago. I don't remember, and probably because I've blocked it out with all the bad weather in December, to have almost 60 degrees in December. I wish I had more outdoor stuff to do today.
You know, it was really nice even last night at sunset. I went out to Lake Michigan to take some pictures.
I have to compliment you on your photography lately, your Facebook. I've been following that, and I like the Wrigley shots you've been taking.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt your story about last night.
No, those are up on WGNplus.com, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah. I got to the lake at about 4:15, 4:30, just before the sun went down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this gust of wind came in. And there was sand just flying everywhere.
And you thought it was
June.
But
it was still warm. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. So I'm happy. It's supposed to be warm all weekend, according to Tom Skilling and everybody else. A little rain, but rain's always good. I know Orion always preaches that rain is good, Steve. So
it is good.
I think it helps things grow.
But don't you have any decorations to put up or anything?
No, I'm all done. Had to get it all done because our daughter came home last night from college. This is happening all over, everywhere. Kids are coming home from college and...
Right.
You know, I saw her for about 3 minutes last night, and then I said, I have to go to bed. I'll see you tomorrow. But I knew she was home because I got up at 2 o'clock today, and I heard the TV coming from her bedroom, even though she was sound asleep. So I was like, now the house seems all back in order because she's there. And then if, God forbid, you go in and turn the TV off.
Oh, yeah.
Because she'll wake up startled, and then it's like, it's almost like she thinks I was just like standing in her room over her, staring at her. I came in to turn your TV off because it's, 3 a.m. and I get up to go to the bathroom and I hear it blaring. So yeah, no, I'm not here just watching you sleep like some freak. I'm freaky on other things, but I'm not just going to look at her sleep. That's weird. We're going to do Steve's first call, 312-981-7200. If you're the first caller, oh, man, I've got some prizes today. Also, just a reminder, Lou Manfredini is going to be here at about 6:20, and we're going to do Lou's first call, too. So we got Steve's first call, Lou's first call. Andy might call me. We'll do Andy's first call. I don't know whose first call we're going to. Andy's going to call. Everybody's going to call, 312-981-7200. So, Michael, if you could just grab that first call, and we'll move on from there. We're also giving away today a lot of prizes. It's Friday. We're clearing out the prize closet because Steve left me all these prizes, and if I don't give them away, it's almost like if you don't use your vacation days, they just get tossed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm giving stuff away. We've got Miracle on 34th Street or Miracle on Jerry Wells Street, the WGN radio play.
Giving that away?
We'll give the whole thing away. You get a walk-on part. No, you get to come and sit in the audience next Friday. We're going to give those away at 8:20. I've got a two-day ski trip that we're going to give away in the 9 o'clock hour, and we've got stuff for Lou, and we've got our first caller of the morning, who is Mark. He's in Arlington Heights. Mark, good morning. Welcome.
How you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic. You are the first caller of the day. You're Steve's first caller. Are you heading to work already?
I am heading to work. I am a union electrician, local 134's finest.
Represent. Very good. I know. I need an electrician.
What's the worst you've ever been shocked?
That question.
480. I was in the hospital for 3 days for that.
Wow.
Really? 3 days?
Yeah, it hurt. It hurt bad.
Wow. So what's the biggest challenge as we get, the weather's been nice now. Do you do mostly inside work, outside work? You do both?
Yeah, we do a lot of inside work, a lot of data centers and stuff like that, so it's pretty cool on the inside. When it's nice now, but, the past winters have been tough.
When you go in to do if you do any work on somebody's house, maybe a friend calls you to come over to his place and goes, I got a little outlet trouble. What's the weirdest thing you've seen that someone's tried to do themselves? Because we all believe, except for me, because I'm electricity and water I don't mess with. That's why there's professionals like Mark. But, other people fancy themselves do-it-yourselfers. What's the weirdest thing you've seen, Mark, when you've gone to and had to correct somebody else's work?
A lot of people do not use conduit or BX. They just put run. I've seen a lot of bare wire run in basements. and that's not really good.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No, it's not good at all. But,
well,
that's why there's professionals like us in the local 134 to make it all right.
I know. That's why we need the professional electricians. Well, listen, Mark, because we're the first caller, I have many, many things to give you this morning. First, we're going to give you a gift card to Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery. They offer a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods. You can visit them in Hinsdale or online at sweetalleys.com. I am also going to send you a Lightkeeper Pro. Not that you need it being an electrician, but you can always use a little help with Christmas lights, holiday lights. It's your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. You can watch the video and learn all about it at lightkeeperpro.com. And do you like to laugh, Mark?
I love to laugh. Beautiful.
All right. Excellent. Then we're going to send you a pair of tickets to see award-winning actress Carol Burnett. This is a great show, an evening of laughter and reflection. It's at the Chicago Theater. Tickets for the newly added May 19th show go on sale today at noon, but Mark, you're getting them before that. You can get the tickets at Ticketmaster or the Chicago Theater box office. And because everybody loves a coffee mug, whether you're an electrician, an accountant, just a guy who likes coffee, we're going to give you a ChevyDriveChicago.com and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee. That's all courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. There you go, Mark. What do you think of that?
What a great Friday. Awesome job. Thank you. I enjoy listening every morning on the way to work.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening. Hang on, and Michael will get all your information. There you go. That's a lot of swag.
That's all you got for him? I mean, come on.
That's all I got?
That's all you have?
Well, I think you'd be shocked by the amount of
that was
stuff
a lot
that
of
I
stuff.
Got.
You stuffed his stocking.
Well, hello. I've got...
With a foot.
Well, listen, he's a tradesman. He's wearing insulated socks, very thick socks to work outside. So you got to stuff them. No, I told you, we got to give stuff away, man. We got to empty out this prize closet. I want Steve to come back on Monday and go, what happened to all my prizes? At Noonan, we're never letting him in again. There's no chance he's getting in here to give things away. So, all right. Sad news that we'll share on the other side of traffic. Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran on WGN. Lou Manfredini coming up at 6:20 with Lou's first call. A lot to get to. We're going to hear from the Andrews High School Choir after 7 o'clock and some performers from The Lion King after 9 o'clock. So we're kind of entertainment heavy. And Dan Hampton will come in, and he will pull on his big boy pants, as mm-hmm. he's like to say, Andy. Dan loves to talk about the big boy pants.
Yeah.
And he'll preview the matchup on Sunday as the Washington Redskins come into Soldier Field. The Redskins have not won on the road, so that they're primed to beat the Bears.
Yeah,
if that's the case,
because the Bears are just 1-5 at home.
Yeah, it's and I never understand that.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be able to defend your home turf. You know,
how have the Redskins not had to change their name yet?
I don't know. See, and there's a quagmire that we'll step into. I don't know. I don't know how they – because the owner said he's not going to do it. He's not going to give in. He's not going to change the name. So unless the league – and can the league even make him? Because he owns the team.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works because, you know, I know that there's the copyright was left open.
Hmm.
I think the registered trademark was actually there was some act of Congress or something like that. Federal Trade Commission or whoever takes care of that. But, you know, it might just have to do with the pressure that he's getting or not getting. I mean, you're right. He spent a gazillion dollars on the team.
Yeah, that's his stance. It's my team.
Home, right?
I don't have to change it. And unless the league can somehow step in and say, listen, we're going to – you got to change it. You know, the public outcry has not forced his hand yet.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be very stubborn. And they don't seem to be hurting for fans. You know, they're still selling merchandise. It's all everything's good, and that's, as you know, being the business guy, Steve.
Money
it's all about
it.
The it's all about
money
the green.
Runs it all, yeah.
That's right. It doesn't matter if people are offended by the name of your team, as long as it's still making money and the league's getting their cut.
They're getting their cut, all
right. So they're not going to be like, well, let's upset this guy a little more.
But just don't deflate the footballs. Then you're going to have
no. Oh my
really
goodness! Yes, don't deflate the footballs. And God forbid we celebrate a little in the end zone
mm-hmm.
because any joy needs to be taken out. Offensive name, that's okay.
Yeah.
Domestic abuse, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're dancing in the end zone,
you're
some kind of clown. Yeah. We don't want clowns in this league. Get out of here. I don't know what's going to happen. But we'll hear from Hamp and see what he's got to say. It's always entertaining when Hamp is on. This is sad news. We've been talking about this all week. And yesterday, they found the body of Kristen Cavallari's brother out in the desert in Utah. He had been missing since after Thanksgiving. They're still trying to figure out what happened to him. There doesn't seem to be signs of foul play, like from someone else. But that is that's just horrible.
That's too bad.
He was the body was taken to a Utah medical examiner's office for positive ID. They're trying to determine the cause of death. They'd been looking into whether Michael Cavallari's recent arrest was a factor in the disappearance. He had been accused of acting threateningly toward a woman and having a shotgun in his trunk. On Tuesday, a team of 30 officers, along with search dogs and drones, fanned out in the desolate area about 200 miles south of Salt Lake City, and the sheriffs came upon him yesterday, which is that's sad. And then she took to Twitter and talked about, you know, her brother and that, and asked for people to respect their privacy in this day and age. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they will, but you know they won't.
Yeah.
You know there's going to be paparazzi and TMZ and. You've been calling all day, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, right.
No,
yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, that's – and so then you go, well, now you and I, if we – like, if my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law was found dead, I'd have a hard time going to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, we all expect Jay Cutler to be at the top of his game on Sunday because he's a professional. That's – you know you're going to hear that because
mm-hmm.
we've got some meathead fans who are going to get – you know, if he makes a bit, he was distracted. Why isn't his head in the game? Well, gee, I don't know. You know, maybe a family member died, and so.
You know, and every athlete deals with it in a different way. Obviously,
right.
You know, I remember Brett Favre playing the day after his father passed
away right.
on Monday Night Football. Nobody expected him to play, and he had the game of his life. I mean.
Some guys can, and everybody, like
you
said.
It's an individual case.
Everybody's different, and everybody can, but it's sad. So, you know, our condolences to Kristen Cavallari's family. It was bad, but it was one of those stories, when you were hearing about this as the week went on, did you think it was going to end any other way?
No.
Me either. It was, you know, the car was found, there was, the airbag hadn't deployed, everything was fine in the car. It's just out there in the middle of nowhere. It was like, oh, this can't end well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The only other way could have ended different if, like I said earlier, aliens had abducted him and then dropped him back. Then you go, wow, that makes sense. But you know, in the real world, we all kind of knew that this is what was coming down the pike. So not good. And in San Bernardino, the FBI is looking into the fact that there may have been other plots that the shooters had. Been planning before they carried out the one a couple weeks ago in San Bernardino. Federal investigators are continuing to review information about other possible attack plans involving the San Bernardino shooters, based in part on interviews with the man who provided the two semi-automatic rifles used in last week's assault that left 14 dead. They still haven't charged the Enrique Marquez, who gave them the weapons, but authorities are attempting to corroborate some accounts provided by him. He's a former neighbor and associate of Syed Farouk. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, that they may have planned something before. They're also searching a lake near where they finally apprehended the couple, because reports say that during the initial chase, there was some stuff being thrown out the window of the couple's SUV. So the FBI is on the scene. Still, the funerals have started starting today in San Bernardino for the victims of that shooting. So it's an ongoing investigation, obviously, and then we'll also be seeing reports of the of all the funerals. So the lake near the attack, as I said, is because stuff was thrown in, but they don't know. Even the FBI say, we don't know what we're going to find when we look in this lake. We don't know if we're going to find anything when we look in this lake, but you know, they've got to try to figure out what drove these people to do what they did, other than just being, you know, radicalized homegrown terrorists, which is. Just a lovely thought as we head into the holidays, or we're in the middle of Hanukkah. So we're in the middle of some holidays. We're heading into other holidays, and just a lot going on. All right. Listen, we've got to keep moving along here, because time is the tyrant. And we have news coming up at the top of the hour, and then we'll talk about the latest another day, another police saga. So we'll get into that on the other side of the news. Then we'll have Lou in. Karen Travers will join us, because there's some gun control news coming out of Washington, D.C., so we'll get into that, which I know will get some people, well, it'll get people riled up on one side of the argument or the other. That's always the beauty, and it's funny. When I started doing radio, people said, there's only a couple things you should never talk about. And one of them is guns.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Because no matter how rational you try to be, the argument, and it doesn't matter what side you're on, the argument always devolves. And it gets crazier and crazier. But this is actual governmental stuff. So we'll get into that with Karen Travers from ABC News.
What was the other one that they told you not to talk about?
Well, there's guns, abortion, and religion.
Religion.
Those are the three.
The big three.
The big three. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, that's fine. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to talk about all of them. Not unfortunately, but sometimes you do have to talk about all of them, especially in this day and age where guns are at the top of everybody's mind, whether it's gun violence here in the city, whether it's shootings in Paris or San Bernardino, whether it's concealed carry. Everybody's talking about guns, and gun sales rose after the Paris attacks. Yeah. Gun sales rose again after the San Bernardino attacks, because once there's an attack and there's any talk of any type of gun control, people go out and they buy more guns.
Oh, yeah. Shares of Sturm and Ruger and Smith and Wesson are record highs. Yeah.
Yeah, because people want their guns, and they want all kinds of guns, and so that's the conversation. So anyway, we'll talk to Karen Travers about what's going on in Washington with that. That's after 7:30. Let's do this, and then it's news on the other side on WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve is on vacation. He'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Brian Noonan, here all week. Been here all week, and it's been a lot of fun here until 10 o'clock, of course. A lot to get to this morning. Lou's first call coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, Steve, you know Lou very well. You've worked with him for many years. Mm-hmm. Right now, is he still in bed, or do you think he's up and awaiting our call?
I'm sure he's at Channel 9 because he's doing a TV shot this morning talking about the importance of smoke and carbon monoxide detectors.
I'll have to ask Lou to send me a transcript, because we're having a little smoke and carbon monoxide detector problem at the house yesterday. Oh. My wife texted me, no periods in her texts. She tries to be friendly. But that at about 4 o'clock yesterday morning, the smoke and carbon monoxide detector in our daughter's room started beeping uncontrollably, and it freaked out the dogs. So she got it down and took the batteries out and said, all right, get batteries. So long story short, I get new batteries. I go home, I put the batteries in, and the thing's still beeping.
Mm.
And on the bottom of it, it says that if it beeps every 30 seconds, even with new batteries, there might be something wrong with the detector.
Oh.
So now I have to replace my smoke and carbon monoxide.
Monoxide. Yes. Yeah.
I like the dioxides. The monoxide I'm not not a fan of. Yeah, so Lou's doing TV. So he is up and ready, which is nice. And people right now are poising their dialing fingers because they know we do Lou's first call and give away a lovely, lovely prize. It wouldn't be a day in Chicago lately without another story about some sort of problems with the police. This coming out late yesterday, a Cook County Sheriff's officer ended up being on the scene of the Laquan McDonald fatal shooting. They arrived within minutes of the event, did not show up on any police reports, which is strange. They were not part of any investigation until the FBI tracked this Cook County sheriff down months later. That according to the Chicago Tribune. Sheriff Tom Dart's office said yesterday that the officer and a second sheriff's officer who arrived soon after were notified by the Chicago Police Department that they were not needed and left the scene. And I hate to think this way, but if you know, you hear that and you go, well, of course the cops said they weren't needed because they were trying to scramble. If you believe your eyes in the video and then you see the discrepancies in the reports, you have to think they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, and so they didn't want any more prying eyes there. And
What's standard protocol if you are if the officers are called to a scene but nothing happens?
There's supposed
and they leave,
to be a report.
Are they supposed they're, to still?
They're supposed to have. They should have mentioned it. The sheriff's, according to this,
even
the sheriff's involvement was never made public. They asked the sheriff about that, and they also asked why, once all this started coming out, why didn't the sheriff's department say, you know what, we had a couple guys there. They said the sheriff's office was not aware of the officer's involvement until contacted by the Tribune. So the deputies didn't say anything. According to the sheriff's office, they didn't know anything. And the Tribune, because they are dogged journalists, They found out, and then they contacted the sheriff and wondered. The sheriff's office confirmed that neither deputy filed a report with the sheriff's department, although the radio dispatch traffic released by the office suggests that they were on the scene immediately after the shooting. So we'll see how that all shakes out again. But they say this could be this can be important because the accounts of other police have been called into question. As we all know, Chicago police who were present all related similar stories that McDonald tried to attack the police with a knife, but we know based on the video that that does not seem to be the case. So it's, man, I'm tired of reporting bad stories about the police because I'm still of the mindset that I want to trust that, and I know the majority of police officers are doing a great job and doing a job that most of us would not want to do. Right. So I know that. And that's why it bothers me so much to have to keep reporting these stories and making things worse and worse. But it's not people who are reporting the stories' fault that it's getting worse and worse. It's the people who are causing us to have to report these stories that are making it worse and worse. So we'll see how it shakes out with the deputies. All right. We know he is at Channel 9. We know he will be joining us momentarily. Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, the man who has all the answers, and he will have your answer if you are the first caller. Lou's First Call and Lou Manfredini coming up next on 720 WGN.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
Well, that is half right. It is Lou's First Call. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran, and Lou's First Call is sponsored by American Weathermakers. Let's say hello to the man, the myth, the legend, Lou Manfredini. Hi, Lou.
Mr. Noonan, good morning. You sound great all week.
Thank you, sir. I truly appreciate that. Now, we've been told by Steve Alexander that you're doing a TV this morning.
Well, every Friday morning, I'm on WGN-TV around 6:40 in the morning. And also something I think you guys all glossed over is I was listening, I was driving in, listening to Steve's First Call.
Yes.
And you gave out a bunch of prizes to a union electrician.
Yes, we did.
Local 134. And Steve threw out the, I'm sure he's shocked at all of the gifts that he got. And none of you all breezed right over it.
Crickets,
Steve. I was like, ha, 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 ha. And they were just going on and on and on, and you were focused on stuffing his stockings. I don't want to say anything.
Listen, Lou, it was not intentional. Steve knows that I appreciate his humor, and I'm always about stuffing somebody's stockings. And if it's...
It was like there was nothing. Crickets. I could hear them as I was driving. Creak, creak, creak.
I need to pay more attention to Steve. That's what I need to do.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him a hug, Lou, now that you've pointed it out.
He's very fragile. So you got to, yeah.
I know. Well, Steve, I formally apologize for missing your joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lou, are you ready for the first call?
Yes, sir.
This is very exciting. Chris in Algonquin is Lou's first call. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We're well.
Hey, Lou, I have a question for you. My kitchen sink, it takes forever for our hot water to come through in our kitchen sink. We'll turn the faucet on, and it takes probably like a minute and a half before the hot water actually starts kicking in. And it's been during the warm part of the season, so it leads me to believe there's something possibly wrong with the pipes.
Let me ask you this. Is the pressure to that valve fine? You get plenty of pressure?
I would say yes. I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's a relatively new house. It's only about 10 years old, so it's not.
And is the kitchen the furthest point from where the water heater is?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and how about the rest of the house? The rest of the house is fine?
Yeah, not too bad.
Okay. So, how handy of a guy are you?
I would say fairly.
Okay.
Not Steve handy, but.
Right. There's a product you can buy called a Watts, WATTS, recirculating pump. And this pump, the way it works is you install underneath your kitchen sink this little valve, or it's a crossover valve. And basically what you do is you disconnect the water lines from underneath the sink, and you connect the water lines to this and then onto your faucet. So you need a couple different lines. Then on top of your water heater, you disconnect the hot water pipe that goes in, and you install this pump that has a timer. And what it does is that it applies pressure to the line, and it circulates the hot water through back through the cold water line just a little bit. So if you can imagine you're in your car and it's an automatic transmission or it's a stick shift car and you're on a hill and you're kind of revving the car and you're holding the clutch and you're keeping the power so that the car stays there so it doesn't roll back down the hill. This is the same thing that this system does with the water. It's pushing the hot water against the cold, and then when you turn it on, you get hot water right away. When you turn the cold on, initially you'll feel just a little bit of warm water for a second. But this whole unit costs about $250, and it's actually, if you can do basic plumbing, you can do this. The only thing you need is you need an electrical outlet somewhere to plug in this pump near the water heater.
That's perfect. Now, would that affect my dishwasher as well, man?
It would help your dishwasher.
Right.
Because what no one remembers to do before they ever run their dishwasher is you want to run the hot water and get it nice and hot at the faucet before you turn your dishwasher on.
Because I remember to do that, Lou.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. When I said that once to Steve Bertrand, it was like I had a third eye. when you do this, now the hot water, because all water dishwashers heat the water before they start. And so if you inject it with hot water first, the system runs more efficiently and you actually use less energy.
There you go.
Well, appreciate your help. Thank you, Lou.
All right, Chris, hold on, because you have got an April Air event-based thermostat, because you are Lou's first call today. April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. So, Chris and Michael will get all your information. There you go. Now, I know, Lou, you were going to Steve mentioned that today you were talking about smoke and carbon monoxide detectors on the WGN Morning News. Is that correct?
Oh, that's so nice. He's very attentive. Yeah, I get very emotional about these stories, you know, the recent stories in these schools that have had carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
It is beyond reproach that is an issue in schools. That, you know, the administrations of any of these public schools, there should be a carbon monoxide smoke detector in every classroom, as far as I'm concerned. But I think that it's another thing that people just don't do in their homes. They don't pay enough attention to it. I'm going to do a little demo on TV to show you. We're going to talk a little bit about the amount of carbon monoxide that it takes to get a headache, and then the amount of carbon monoxide that it takes before you're literally on your way to death. And it's 800 parts per million. But the thing is, no one knows what that is.
Yeah.
If I said to you, Brian, you know, if there's 800 parts per million in that studio you're sitting in, you could be really deathly sick. And how would you even be able to equate what that is? You and I don't want to speak
no
for you,
comprehension.
Brian,
no comprehension.
We're not good
of that,
with the math.
No, you're definitely right on the money there.
So I've got a little demo that's going to show. I've got a 5-gallon bucket of water that I'm going to show on TV, and when I show you the little amount of red dye that's going to go in that can, in that bucket, rather, that is the amount that's going to kill you, you'll be amazed.
Oh, geez. Well,
coming up at 6:40 on the WGN-TV News. When you watch that, make sure you keep the radio on.
Yes, keep the radio on, but then put the closed captioning on so you can read what Lou is saying and then listen. I want everybody to win out. Let me ask you this, Lou, and I don't think it'll steal any of the thunder from your TV appearance.
How does
someone know when it's time for them to replace the actual detector? If, you know, you put the batteries in, you change it, like they say, twice a year, and
you do
all that. How do you know when it's time to get rid of the unit and get a brand new
one? Here's a rule of thumb, 7 years.
Okay.
So the detectors, you know, they get, because they're always sensing the air, the sensors that are behind the plastic thing that you see, they get dirty and you really can't clean them because they're underneath this shroud. And so a trick is, though, it's not, on the side of the detector, if you buy a new one, write the date, write the year.
Okay.
In a black magic marker, and you can put it on a side that you don't see. And then, you know, for most of us now, we're all carrying a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Go on your calendar and go 7 years out and say, change the detectors, because you're going to forget.
Oh, yeah, you are.
And I tell people all the time, if you don't know how old yours are, replace them. We're talking about something that, I mean, the fancy ones that, you know, have a lot of bells and whistles are $50.
Right.
The ones that cost $25 are still as effective as the fancy ones. So we're talking about $25 to save your life.
That seems like a reasonable price. Now, you're taking the Mr. Fix-It show on the road again tomorrow. Do you ever come into the studio anymore?
They don't like me in there, I guess. I don't know what it is. We're going to Villa Olivia, and the plan was that I was going to do some tubing down the tubing hill.
Yeah, that's not going to work out.
I think unless I'm going to go down on a wagon.
Maybe get a hoverboard. Go down on a hoverboard.
One of those lithium ones.
Exactly. That'll be fun to watch.
But, it's part of the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour, and we're going to be out at Villa Olivia from 7 to 10, and all are welcome. You can go to WGNradio.com/events to learn more on how to get there. It's out in Bartlett. It's beautiful. I've skied there before. I've gone on their tubing hill, and sadly the snow is not here yet, but, it's coming.
But you will be there, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
All right, Lou, it's always great talking to you. Good luck on the WGN Morning News later in about, 11 minutes?
Something like that.
Yeah, get your bucket ready. Have a great day. Thanks, Lou. Talk to you later. That's Lou Manfredini. You can hear him every Saturday morning. You know the Mr. Fix-It show. It is a wonderful program. Airs from 7 to 10. Tomorrow they'll be at Villa Olivia in Bartlett. News in a couple minutes, WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Next hour, we will welcome the Andrews High School Choir for a little holiday sounds. Andy, you love the holiday sounds.
Love me some holiday sounds.
Who doesn't love holiday sounds? Steve enjoys the holiday sounds.
Yeah, not too early, though.
No, so after 7 is good. We've had some time to get caffeinated.
I meant not too early in the year.
Oh, no, we don't want them in June.
No.
I think mid-December is fine.
No, it's too early.
We don't want Halloween. Well, unless the Halloween sounds are, shrieking and screaming and chains rattling. But that's neither here nor there. The White House is reportedly finalizing some executive action plans regarding guns, and there's some gun news out of Connecticut as well. Karen Travers is the ABC News correspondent. She's in Washington, D.C. We've had the pleasure of talking to Karen throughout the week. Karen, good morning. Thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning and happy Friday.
Exactly.
And, it's been a long week here in Washington.
I can only imagine, and it sounds like from this report things are... It's going to get longer.
Yeah, so this is interesting. The other night, Valerie Jarrett, a senior advisor to the president, indicated at an event in Connecticut that the White House was close to finalizing these executive actions that they're going to announce on gun control. And this is something that came up after the Oregon Community College shooting. The president very aggressively saying, if I can't do this with Congress because they're not going to work with me on this, I'm going to figure out ways to do this without them. No surprise, that sparked a lot of hand-wringing.
Gee, really?
A lot of criticism of that. and it looks like what the White House is keying in on is this gun show loophole, as they say. It's where you can buy a weapon at a gun show or online without a background check. And what they want to do is come up with a way to classify more of those sellers as high-volume dealers, which would mean they would have to get a background check when they make a sale. So that's the change to the current law. No surprise the gun groups, the NRA, say they're going to certainly sue the president if he tries to do this. It's beyond his authority. It's an overreach. The White House not yet confirming any timeline yesterday, just saying we have no update, but it's something we're still considering.
Karen, for those who aren't clear on how this works, explain executive action.
Mm-hmm. So executive action is essentially the president saying, I'm going to do this, and Congress doesn't get a vote on this. We saw the executive action with the immigration orders that the president issued several months ago. And that's, of course, been going through the legal process, many legal challenges to that. Interesting, you brought up Governor Malloy of Connecticut. He's doing the same thing.
Right.
Yesterday, he proposed an executive order that would ban gun sales to anybody on the federal no-fly list. And that's something the president called for in his big speech from the Oval Office. Congress failed to move forward on that last week in the Senate. Unlikely they'll do anything in the House on it. But Connecticut would be the first state to do that. They have to work with the federal government, of course, to get that no-fly list. But interesting to see how that plays out and what that could mean for what the president might try and do.
And do you think the federal government would be forthcoming with Connecticut and other states to say, all right, here's the list? You know, right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and then that's a tricky thing. You know, it's interesting when the president said he wanted to try this no guns, no fly list measure. Interesting to see who came out against it. Of course, you're going to get the gun groups coming out against it. But you also had civil liberties groups saying that the idea of the no-fly list is not right because people haven't done anything yet. There's due process. Right. So you can't deny somebody the constitutional right they have to have a gun if they haven't done anything, that you're just flagging them as potential bad guys. So kind of a strange bedfellows there in opposition to it.
Well, it is the no-fly list is a flawed system because I know we've all heard stories about people who have a similar name to someone, and so you can understand why people would be upset. Why should I be penalized if I haven't done anything, like you said?
Right, and not knowing that they were on it until they tried to fly.
Exactly.
And then imagine this person not knowing they're on it until they tried to get a gun. So, yeah, definitely some opposition to that. But I think just in general, the White House is showing that they're trying to take action. The president's frustrated. You remember after that community college shooting, how aggressively he came out and spoke. Didn't see him like that after the California shooting massacre because you know, the White House struggled to come up with how anything that they're proposing would actually have prevented that. But you certainly see this president in the fourth quarter of his administration trying to come up with something he can do, knowing that he can't do much with Congress.
Karen, let's go back to that gun show loophole you were talking about, and that seems to be the centerpiece of this executive action. The dealers at the shows, How much would they have to sell now in order to be considered a high-volume dealer?
You know, I don't know the exact number on that. The current law says that anybody who's engaged in the business of dealing firearms has to get a license. But there's an exemption for what they call occasional sales, exchanges or purchases, if it's for a personal collection or for a hobby. So what the White House wants to do is revise that to essentially redefine which dealers would have to get that license from the ATF in order to get the background check, in order to do background checks on potential buyers.
And just to clarify, you said Press Secretary Josh Earnest didn't give any timeline for this kind of stuff?
No, just said that they're not willing to say that they were close to finalizing anything, that they're still looking into it, but no update on the timing of it. And, you know, when this first came out after Oregon, all indications were this wasn't going to be something quick. It might have taken months, so perhaps a bit of maybe Valerie Jarrett was speaking a little bit ahead of things, given the audience she was speaking to, but certainly something that everybody is anticipating coming at some point out of the White House.
All right. Well, Karen, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Have a good weekend, and
thanks,
we will talk again.
Thank you.
That's Karen Travers, ABC News correspondent. She is in Washington, D.C. When we come back, we're going to talk to Elise Glink. We're going to get some business innovation analysis from Elise because she is our business innovation analyst. See how that works? Sure you do. It's WGN. Ryan Noonan in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. On the other side of the news, we will be visited by the Andrews High School Choir, and we'll have some lovely holiday music. I like that part, that feature all month on Steve's show, where they bring in all these choirs. We've had some great singers so far this week. I know the Andrews High School Choir will not be any different. They will be phenomenal. So we'll hear from them on the other side of the news. And then at 7:30, Andy has already put on his big boy sportscaster pants because Dan Hampton will join us, and we'll preview Bears Redskins. You got your big boy pants on?
I've got them in the car. I have to run and get them. But
you should always have your big boy pants available. Now, your big boy pants have a drawstring, don't they? Depending on how big you are that day?
All right.
Very good. Hey, it's time for business. I know Steve likes talking business, but you know who else likes to talk business? She is WGN Radio's business innovation analyst, Elise Glink. She joins us now. Is she there? No? Michael's looking. Oh, we're going to wait. All right. We'll talk to Elise in just a minute. I'm excited about this. We got a bull rider coming in here at 8:30.
Really?
A man who rides thousands of pounds of beef for a living.
Is he bringing his bull?
I hope so. Hmm. I want to see somebody go for 8 seconds. That's 8 seconds right here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Can you imagine the havoc that would wreak?
Oh, man.
The
bull
devastation.
In a China shop.
It would be a bull in a China shop because we know Andy is a delicate China flower.
Very so.
He's a porcelain figurine, and if he gets slammed by a bull, it's just going to be horrifying. Have you ever been to a bull, a professional rodeo?
Oh, sure.
They're great, aren't they?
Yeah.
We a couple years ago, when I was doing Sports Night, we had one of these bull riders in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the event. I had never seen something like this before. It was crazy good. Just these guys are nuts. First of all, they're crazy. They're certifiably insane.
Well, they're great athletes.
They are great athletes, yeah. And they're small, most of them. You know, they're compact.
Right.
Because you're getting on top of an animal. And they're wiry, and they're very, I'm sounding weird now, but they're very cut up. They're good-looking men. Who doesn't like a cowboy, right, Laura? Get a guy in some chaps, dirty Wrangler jeans, and then man, oh, man.
Shoot from both
jump
hips.
Jump right up there. She bailed?
Well, they don't have guns. Right, well. they don't ride with guns.
I know, but I was doing like a cowboy thing.
I don't think they ride with guns.
No.
There's not. Listen, if you're getting bounced around on a bull, you don't want to have any sort of firearms strapped to you.
No.
Because we'll learn all about that because Sean Willingham, he's a big deal in the pro bull riding world.
Is he?
Yeah, he's sponsored by Rockstar Energy Drink, so he'll be in here. They call him the Rockstar Bull Rider.
So you're saying people know him?
Yes, people who follow professional bull riding know him very well. And in his picture, he's got the big hat on, big buckles. I'm going to ask him how many buckles he's won, because that's the fun part. That's the only professional wrestling and bull riding. That's where you get the buckles.
I was going to say, isn't that wrestling?
No.
So any it's
sort
both?
Of cowboy and any sort of rodeo in, Laura, you get the belt buckle. Mm-hmm. And then you got the groupies, the buckle bunnies that hang around outside the corral.
Well, you buckle know a lot bunnies. About this, don't
I? Wow. Listen, in my other life, I wanted to be a cowboy. Who did grow up wanting to be a cowboy?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you want to be out on the range, sipping coffee out of a tin cup that you burned over the campfire, just hanging around.
Eating the beans.
Wasn't that an 80s song, by the way?
What's that?
Wasn't that an 80s song? I want to be a cowboy.
Yeah, I remember that. And you can be my cowgirl.
Yeah.
Remember that? Right. Seriously.
She's right.
You are right. Yeah. And I'm just surprised that you, Michael, maybe you can find that song. I want to be a cowboy. Yeah, there's a lot of good cowboy songs going all the way back to Desperado by the Eagles, which is technically, you could say that's not a cowboy song.
There's Out Riding Fences, yeah.
My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys by Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I go back-to-back Willie Nelson
Rhinestone
on Friday.
Rhinestone Cowboy,
Glenn Campbell. Wow. Toby Keith should have been a cowboy. It's cowboy songs for 500, Alex.
What's another one? Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, we should give away. All right, anybody who next person to come up with a it's Andrew High School, not Andrews. I'm sorry, it's Andrew High School. We'll leave off the last S for savings.
Okay.
All right, people very. I love when we get consternation over one letter. You know, it's Andrew High School. So I'm just reading what's on my thing. I'm like the Ron Burgundy of fill in morning hosts. If you put it in front of me, I'm gonna read it.
Question marks are okay. Periods are not okay.
Right.
Remember that. We learned that earlier.
It's emojis, awesome.
Not too many emojis, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because
no, I don't think you can have too many emojis.
Oh, I mentioned this yesterday. Too many emojis, it makes me want to have you committed to an asylum. Because it means that you've lost all ability to communicate with your words, and now you're just like a caveman. You're just hieroglyphics. I don't need high-tech hieroglyphics. Michael, you say you got a... Kid Rock. We're thinking of Kid Rock.
No, it's not. That's a different one.
Oh, all right.
That's the I'm a Cowboy Baby. We're talking about the old one.
And what do you have for us, Michael?
There you go.
Here it is.
I want to be a cowboy.
And who did this song? Boys Don't Cry. Sure.
I want to be a cowboy.
Cowboy songs coming in on the text line. Cowboy Take Me Away by the Dixie Chicks.
Oh Wow song, Mazer. Remember Oh Wow songs?
I do remember Oh Wow songs, yeah.
You kind of invented that, and people still say it.
What is an Oh Wow song?
Kind of you kind of say, oh, wow, I haven't heard that in a long time. Or
probably
oh,
a
wow,
good reason.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right? I have not been clamoring for more Boys Don't Cry. Like, oh, you know what I need, Steve?
But
I need the Boys
fit,
Don't
you
Cry
know?
Box set. I've never said that.
That is their box set, right?
That
there.
Is their box set.
Yes. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
You know what? What's funny is the Boys Don't Cry box set is like a manila envelope.
Yeah, they do a medley of their greatest hit.
Yes. Here, we're going to do it a different way. Here's the dance version. Now the album cut. All right. Fantastic, fellas. Thank you very much. Andrew High School. Not Andrews.
Or Andrew Mazer.
Andrew Mazer, sure.
I'm known as every once in a while.
See, and I call you Andrews Mazer. Mazer.
Just and that's don't call me happens. Late for dinner.
No, I won't. All right, let's do this. And then when we come back, we'll do the news and we'll wrap things up. And maybe we'll talk more about cowboys because you can never have too much cowboy talk on a Friday morning here on WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I'm Brian Noonan. Steve will be back with you on Monday. And once again, the studio is filled with teenagers. I don't fear these teenagers because they seem wholesome and well-mannered. And most of them are wearing festive garb, and that always does my heart good when I see that. These specific teenagers are from Andrew High School in Tinley Park. They are a wonderful choir, and their choir director is Chris Moan. Chris, we were starting to get worried. Then we saw the bus pull up out front, and your students jumped off and hurriedly ran into the building. We are glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. They know how to make an entrance.
Yes. They do. They sure did. They waited. It was very diva-like. They were like, we're not coming in any earlier than we have to be here, and we'll just show up when we have to, and we're ready to sing. So tell me about this choir from Andrew High School.
This choir, actually, and all the choirs at Andrew High School, just put on a spectacular Christmas show. We had a holiday concert last night, and this group is comprised of sophomores through seniors.
Okay.
And this is our top auditioned group at the high school.
Very nice. Now, how many different, and I've heard this at other high schools, how many different choirs do you have at Andrew?
We have four that meet during the day, and we have two that meet outside the day.
And then the students audition to get into various levels?
Indeed, yeah. They're just placed by level, just of how talented they are or how well they read music.
Okay.
And then we combine them in voice, and we set up the choirs that way.
And so these students are the top. They are the most talented and most able to read music.
These are the top dogs for sure.
Very nice.
Yes.
And traffic on 57 bad?
Was
that the issue?
Yeah, a little bit of a parking lot for a while there. 94 saved us.
Well, we're glad you're here. So Andrew High School is in Tinley Park. Andrea, very upset that she could not be here today. Andrea Darlis is an Andrew alum.
Absolutely, yes. No, we had a couple messages on Twitter, and it was awesome. We got to obviously come in and sing. But, yeah, we miss you, Andrea. We'll see you.
Yes, she is. I'm sure she's listening wherever she is. I think she's in later, but who knows.
Awesome.
But this is very exciting. So let's before we take a quick break, let's hear a little something from the Andrew High School Choir.
Great.
To young and old, meek and the poor, ding dong, ding dong, that is his song, ding joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, all at once, raising the song, for her dance, I'll hear it all. Give me the ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, ding dong, ding dong, that is his song, ding joyful ring, all caroling.
On this end, on without end, dare joyful tone, ding dong, ding dong. Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw kiss away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and humble. Ding dong, ding dong, that is a song, ding dong, a ring, all caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they're all raising the song, for her dance, I'll hear the tone. Keep in the ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here.
Wow, very nice. The Andrew High School Choir under the direction of Chris Moan. I know we'll have time for a few more songs.
But
are they ready?
Yeah, we could get it going.
You got them going? All right, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear more. We'll learn a little bit more about the Andrew High School Choir. Sophomores through seniors, you said.
Absolutely,
all right,
yes.
We'll find out what's going on with these kids. They all look... they don't look like trouble.
No, they're in it to win it.
You know, a lot of high school, a lot of teenagers are shifty. These guys don't look shifty at all.
Not
so
a shifty.
Congratulations.
One of the
bunch. Not a shifty. Tinley Park, not known for shifty characters.
No.
When it comes to high school kids. All right, let's do this. The holiday sounds abound on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran. Remember earlier when I told you we were giving away Blackhawks tickets? The time is now. I've got a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Colorado on December 15th. And if you win these tickets, you'll also be entered to win four season tickets for next year. It's all courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. All you have to do is be the first person to tell us what lovely choir is visiting us this morning. What choir is visiting us this morning? And you will be going to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Colorado. Colorado on December 15th. Michael is answering the phones now, 312-981-7200. First person, what choir is in here? I'm going to give you the answer. I'm letting a few more lines ring before I tell you that the fine folks, I'll just say they're from Tinley Park. Let's leave it a mystery for now. Chris Moan is the choir director of said high school from Tinley Park, and we'll give you the proper name in just a moment. But, Chris, so you mentioned that this choir is the top audition choir.
Yes.
They are made up of sophomores through seniors. How many of you guys are seniors? A number of you. Very nice. And they're all, look how quiet they're.
See?
Just raise their hand politely.
Docile.
That's how you got to keep them docile. Break their spirit.
This time of the morning.
That's what you do, Chris. Keep them down. How many of you are planning on pursuing music as you go into college? A few of you? How about you, sir? You can step right up to that microphone. What is your name?
Warren Fry.
Warren Fry. And what do you hope to do in college with your music?
Planning on going into music education.
Music? Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. A music teacher. Then look at Chris.
Love it.
Very good. Very good. and the young lady next to you, since you're right in the front row, we'll ask you as well. That's not to slight everybody who's in the back row, but I don't want you knocking stuff over. What's your name?
Maria Shazny.
Maria, and what do you hope to do with your music in college?
I'm hoping to go to college to pursue musical theater.
Musical theater? Oh, very nice. Like Glee.
Yep.
Look at that. Could have a future scream queen on your hand there,
look out,
Chris.
Gleeks. Yeah.
Very nice. All right, listen, let's get right back into it because you guys sounded so good. We've got to get a few more songs out of you. And let me see, I'm still waiting. Oh, we do have a winner, so I can say that this is the Andrew High School Choir from Tinley Park, Illinois, under the direction of Chris Moan. And what do they got on tap for us now, Chris?
A little We Wish You a Merry Christmas. 'Tis the season, right?
That sounds good to me.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Nicely done. Very good. How much time do these kids have to devote to a choir that sounds this good?
Significant amount of time. They meet each day.
Okay.
So we meet for an hour each day during class time, and then we do have some evening rehearsals as well, and then they have to participate in four concerts a year as well. So it's kind of a lot of evening opportunities. We sing for some functions at school as well, graduation and scholarship nights. So they definitely are the face of the program when they're getting around that way.
They put their time in. Now, and I know this is not to slight students who are in other activities, but kids who are in music tend to do better grade-wise and everything, don't
statistically,
they?
Yes. Actually, kids that devote their time to music studies or studies in the fine arts tend to kind of be better at academic subject.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's just because they can think on their feet. They're really adaptable, and they take a note really well as far as an immediate feedback situation in a rehearsal. So they can think on their feet and change things on the fly.
Do you ever go whiplash on these kids and make any of them cry? Does Mr. Moan make any of you guys cry? One guy at the end? Yes. That's why he's on the end. He's like, they don't even let me stand in the middle.
It was just him. It was one time. No, I'm kidding. No. I'm the anti-whiplash, I think. I don't know. I have a pretty cool demeanor, it seems.
Well, that's good. You seem very laid back.
For the most part.
And you got a hipster vibe to you, which I know the kids love. The kids love the hipsters, don't they?
Yes. It's a hipster time right about now, right?
I just look outside.
I mean, you'll see one walking by. There's one. No, I'm kidding. No.
You can't throw a swing. You can't swing a choir member without hitting a hipster.
That's what I always say. Hipsters unite.
Chris Moan is the hipster choir director of Andrew High School. At least that's what the kids will be writing on their lockers and Snapchatting and putting on Yik Yak when they get back to school.
Perfect.
So that'll be fun. Let's hear some more music. All Enough of me Yik Yakking, and let's hear the kids sing.
Deck the halls with bells of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Draw the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Wow, it's amazing. It really is. And, you know, my daughter went to a high school that had a nice music program, and it always amazes me when I hear young people devote themselves to this and how wonderful they sound. And I'm not, you know, I'm not just blowing smoke. You guys sound very good. You should be very proud of yourself and all the work you put in. And Chris, you should be proud too.
Thanks. You Thank know? You so much.
Not
no,
only
it's
of the
awesome
beard, which
them.
Is magnificent. Just magnificent.
Thank you.
It is. It's got to be rewarding, right? Because, yes. You know, I joke all the time about teenagers and them being shifty and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot are.
It can happen.
But it is nice to see kids who come to school and they don't just want to, you know, put in their time and then get out as soon as the bell rings. They want to devote themselves to other things. And have you seen over the years that is it because the competition not only in high school but in college has gotten much stronger? So now these students are smart enough to know, listen, we got to work a little harder.
I have definitely seen that, you know, absolutely. This group academically and certainly throughout music in our music program, in our band program, in our orchestra program, we have a lot of really high-functioning students on both ends of the scale, fine arts-wise and academically. But, yeah, no, they devote themselves fully to the whole experience.
And let's be honest, how much hazing goes on? The seniors here, are the sophomores, raise your hand, sophomores. They can't even raise them over their heads. Is it that bad?
So, yeah,
oh, my goodness.
They're oppressed.
Did the seniors give you a hard time when you first got into the choir? No.
Nope.
Look at, no, and they're blinking some sort of Morse code. Andy, can you decode that message? I don't know what that means, but don't worry. We'll have intervention out in the green room for you all. We've got time for one more, Chris. What are we going to hear from the wonderful Andrew High School Choir?
Well, we figured we'd help everybody on their morning commute, keep them awake with Silent Night.
That'll work. Thank you. Very nice, guys. Very nice. Thank you for bringing them in, Chris. Chris Moan is the choir director and the lovely choir from Andrew High School in Tinley Park. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thank you all for coming in. You sounded terrific this morning. And I like that you didn't even really have a lot of time. You jumped off the bus and you were in here and you were singing and you sounded terrific. So thanks very much for coming in. Chris, it was a pleasure. Thanks for bringing
them
in. And, you know, we'll tell Andrea that she missed out on her alma mater and they represented Tinley Park very well.
Thank you so much for having us.
Take care. All right, we'll do this. But first, I have to congratulate Terry from McHenry. Terry won the Blackhawks ticket. She's going to see the Blackhawks take on the Colorado Avalanche on December 15th. She is also entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. Congratulations, Terry. Enjoy the game. News in a couple of minutes on WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
It is time for Dan Hampton. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran this week. Dan Hampton's appearance sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Dan, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today. Always appreciate it.
Hey, I'm so happy to be on with you. I'm just so, enthralled with this preparation of the Bears. I guess Cochran is too, right?
Oh, he's so excited he had to take the day off. He's at home he can't believe it. The good fortune that Martellus Bennett is out. Zach Miller now going to be the big tight end target. And Washington, you know, they have it won on the road, so this should be a lock for the Bears, right, Dan?
Well, the whole thing is, and this is a very unfortunate situation for us here in Chicago. The Bears are 1-5 at home, and they're playing a team that is winless on the road. So there's not going to be a lot of gold stars given out before the game. It's going to have to be earned, and let's hope. Let's just find a way to put a W up, and if we do, we'll be okay.
So what do you think is – what's it going to take? What are going to be some of the keys to this? Because, as you said, it's – we look at it on paper and you go, oh, boy, there's nothing to get too excited about beforehand.
Okay, and there's a there's a certain saying in the game of football, you know, there's always something to play for. Now, obviously, the playoffs kind of went out the window last week with the abysmal performance against the 49ers. But there's a lot of guys that's trying to kind of carve out, a little job security. Guys like Shea McClellan. Is there a chance of Shea McClellan being the starting linebacker next year? In my mind, I'm like, I've seen enough, but – you know, maybe this coaching staff thinks that he'll make some kind of, you know, miracle process of improvement over the last month. So there's a lot of guys that that kind of need to make a statement. You know, Eddie Royal was a guy that was brought in here to be a speed guy, slot guy, that will make the entire offense better in so many different ways and facets. And he's been hurt all years, and there's a chance he'll play this weekend. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of faces that, you know, I don't want to say they're trying out for jobs, but it is about job security at some point.
Hap, how impressed are you, though, with the fact that, you know, you mentioned the injuries, especially to that receiving core, that, you know, Jay Cutler's actually put together a pretty decent little season. I mean, obviously this hasn't translated into wins, which is the bottom line, but has he shown you anything?
There's no question that Jay Cutler has made progress this year. And, you know, I guess a lot of fans may say, oh, well, wait a minute. We saw, you know, him throw a pick six last weekend. Well, really, you know, that was, you know, and if once you break that down, that really, you know, I know Jay Cutler held the football and he threw it. But that was the normal check down against a defense that was being presented to him. So, you know, a lot of that, you got to kind of put on the offensive coordinator. There's, you know, there's a certain rhyme and reason to what they're trying to do. Well, this offense has not been explosive enough. They've got to be able to create points. And I understand, you know, you don't have everyone playing at the receiver position. You've got, you know, a makeshift offensive line that has been kind of playing people out of position all year. But, hey, regardless, it's the NFL, and you got to find a way. And this offense needs to find a way. And you look at the Redskins, they're 25th in the NFL, stopping the run. To me, it makes a lot of sense. Pound away and go back to getting the play action going and getting, you know, a lot of those bootlegs and things that the great Ed Obradovich talks about week in, week out. And we have, you know, the quarterback that is capable of doing this. And it's the hardest thing in football to stop, and yet we refuse to even try to do it on a regular basis. It's just maddening at times.
Hamp, you said Jay Cutler making improvements. Do you think it's his maturity? Do you think it's a new quarterback's coach? Is it the new system? What do you think is contributing to the progress that he is finally making this year?
Well, you know, obviously it's the whole new staff. There's quarterback, new quarterback coach, there's new offensive coordinator, there's, you know, new head coach, new general manager. There's all these reasons. But, you know, at some point it has to come down to, you know, at some point you've got to listen. You got to listen. And, you know, I'm on my 12-year-old son all the time. You've got to listen. You've got to, you know, understand what other folks are saying and try to incorporate, you know, other kind of techniques and fundamentals into your preparation. And to me, I mean, his footwork, his movement in the pocket, you know, his mechanics, there's no question it's been his best year. And even though this team has, you know, kind of fallen out of the playoff race at 5-7, you look around the league, you know, there's only about three quarterbacks that I think have actually had a better year than Jay. And I know everybody's like, what? I'm just saying, without Jay, you know, we're looking at it pretty much an 0-12 team. So he's had a good year, not a great, but a good one. And next year, hopefully, when Kevin White, if Eddie Royal is healthy, all these different components, I think you could see a quarterback have a great year.
Talking with Dan Hampton, we will keep previewing the Bears matchup with Washington on Sunday. Hamp, if you hold on, we'll be back to you in just a second. More with Dan Hampton on the other side. But right now, we go to Traffic Central. Ryan Noonan for Steve Cochran on WGN, and we are talking to Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, who you can hear after every Bears game on the Hamp and OB show with Kaz Sunday. You can hear them at 3 from 3 to 6. Hamp joins us now, brought to you by the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Hamp, let's go back to something you said before, and I hear you and OB and Kaz every week you're keying on this. And I kind of get it, but some people might not get why you keep singling out Shea McClellan. And you guys seem to say that this guy shouldn't be in the NFL. What is it about his play that aggravates you as a former defensive lineman?
Well, and there's a number of reasons and facets to the criticism. And, you know, on face value, you look at bare defensive players. There's a reason why the Washington Redskins, the Green Bay, all these different teams around the NFL always were full of trepidation coming into Chicago to play a game. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were going to line up against a Dick Butkus or a Doug Buffon or a Mike Singletary or a Brian Urlacher or a Lance Briggs. All these great players at that position at linebacker. And there's a reason why that reputation preceded themselves is because they played the game, you know, in a physical, violent manner where you got after people. And especially in this particular defense, the 3-4, you know, there's certain hallmarks of the 3-4. Well, guess what? You need to have very physical inside linebackers. And they are responsible for a lot of you know, hey, when you look at the tackle chart after a game in a typical defense like the 49ers, Navarro Bowman, who was a great player of the 49ers, had for many years, and he, even though he was beat up last week, he still played a magnificent game. Well, you look at, and that's the way you, well, when you watch the play of Shea McClellan, it's the complete antithesis of what you should get. Instead of, you know, physical head-to-head confrontation, taking on blocks, making tackles, knocking running backs backwards, it's a series of runaround blocks and jump on the pile after the play's over. And it's just, again, There's a certain vibe that if other guys on the defense are watching the film on Monday morning after the game and they see this, it's almost like it guts the certain sense of urgency of playing defense. It's, well, he's playing like that. It doesn't mean that I've got to, you know, I don't have to play that much better because look at this. So it's almost like it drags down a team. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Shea McClellan may be a wonderful, wonderful kid. I'm just saying, for the good of this program, for the good of the Chicago Bear defense, we need improvement at that position. And you're not going to get it. I've watched it for 12 weeks, and, you know, even though he was out, you know, the defense played better when Shea McClellan was not on the field. And, you know, I hate to make it, personal or singular, but, hey, we are, you know, this is about the Bears getting better and winning. And right, that's what it's about. And right now it's tough to see this team win on a consistent basis with a performance at that position like we're seeing from, you know, number 50.
Hamp, what are you expecting at the beginning of the game? I mean, obviously last week it was pretty much throughout the entire game that they didn't look very interested in what was going on.
Right.
This can't happen in a second week in a row, can it?
It's bizarre. You know, there was a little, like a blurb in the paper about, oh, well, you know, the Bears are really good the week after they play the Packers. It's almost like they focus so much on the Packers that, oh, the next week, and it's ridiculous. You know, The whole thing about the NFL season, and yes, it's ups and downs and all that, but you have to have a core group that is willing to sustain momentum. And if there's ever been a spot where you could say, wow, we've got a chance to have a great surge of momentum, it's after you go up to Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving night. And yet, you go out against maybe the worst team in the NFC, and you not only play down to them, you never put them away, and you allow them to stay in it to the very end where they beat you. And, you know, it started, and it's, you know, the offense, the special teams, the defense, they're all culpable. But all of this, you know, you got to put on the desk of John Fox. That's his job. When you're getting ready to play the Packers, you don't really need to light any fires because, you know, hey, the players know, they read the papers, they hear from, you know, their mother-in-law, their fans and all this, hey, beat the Packers. Well, it's the game after that's where the head coach, the coordinators, and the position coaches have really kind of have to beat the drum. They didn't do it. And I'm perplexed. I have no reason why they did not understand that.
Well, shouldn't Hamp, you know better than anybody, shouldn't the players be motivated themselves? I mean, you guys, they want to win every week, don't they? Or shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, but my kid's in seventh grade. You think every day he goes in there thinking he's going to make an A, and he's got to make it? You know, there's a certain sense of urgency that, you know, a coach means not only, you know, getting players to play in a coordinated manner, but it's also almost like a mental coach in the sense that, hey, we know that you won against Green Bay, but guess what? This is the game that you need to be ready for because this is the game that will keep you out of the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know if a coach said that. And again, you know, unless you're in that circle, in the room, in the meetings, in the practice areas, you don't know if that's being, you know, emphasized. But I'm just saying, for them to come out and play so incredibly flat, it's perplexing. And again, you know, now there's always something to play for, you know, and that was a great thing. And that's part of the reason, you know, and I know I played a long time and everybody's like, wow, you played a long time. Why? Well, once you get in that circle and you're in the chase and you're in the playoff hunt and you know what is possible at the end of the road, that's what drives you. Well, guess what? They stumbled around for 3 hours and lost so much of that potential of a season-ending, you know, goal and prize and all those things. Now, I hate to say it, but they're down to playing for momentum for next year, playing for jobs, all these different things that, in the big picture, don't really matter when you think about what they squandered last Sunday afternoon.
You want to make a quick prediction?
Well, I'm still not over last Sunday, but somehow, some way, I can see these guys crawling out of the wreckage and making some, you know, atonement. And let's say 26-20, they find a way to win, and we'll see what happens. You know, I think, what was it, 4% chance of making the playoffs?
Yeah.
But all that's predicated on winning. So let's see what they do this weekend.
All right, Hamp, we'll be listening on Sunday. Have a great weekend. Thanks, man.
All right, go Bears.
Talk to you. Go Bears. That's Dan Hampton. You can hear him, the Hamp OB Show with Kaz, Sunday after the game, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Let's do this. News next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve this week. Steve will be back with you on Monday morning. The 8 o'clock hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Dean has previous commitments, but we will endeavor to talk about some showbizy type of things. And at 8:20, I'm going to give you a chance to be part of what I think is going to be an exceptionally fun and potentially disastrous morning. I can't wait to part of it. The Miracle on Jerry Wells Street, our take on Miracle on 34th Street, the live radio play that we will be performing right here in Campbell Hall in Tribune Tower next Friday morning. You can listen to it live from 10 until noon next Friday the 18th. You can listen to it on the stream, and then they'll clean it up and rebroadcast it throughout the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Parts of that will be the Miracle on Jerry Well Street, too. So we will give you a chance to be part of the audience at 8:20, and you don't want to miss it. Andy, I know you were a little upset, put off that you were.
It's all right.
I don't know why you weren't. Why you're not part of it?
It's okay.
You should crash. You should come and
I'm over it.
I'll give you one of my lines. I think I have three.
Really?
I'll give you a line. I don't know what we.
It's awfully nice of you.
It'll be weird.
Give me a third of your lines.
Well, listen, what do I got to do?
You could do it like We Are the World. You know, we could all just kind of morph into each other.
Yeah, Steve, if you want the other one, we could each do one of my lines.
I'd love to do that.
Because I can't memorize more than one line.
It's a lot to take on.
It's a big job, and I feel a lot of pressure because there's some great action. We'll talk all about that in a little bit. Yesterday, the Golden Globe nominations had just come out when Dean joined us, and a lot of people starting to think we always got to know who got snubbed, who got it right, what nominations were good, what nominations were bad. I don't know. But Variety is the entertainment Bible. Mm-hmm. You guys know that. I know when you're not reading business journals or some sort of a sports comic book, Andy, you read Variety. I don't know why it was a sports comic book. That was just mean.
Harlem Globetrotters, yeah.
They're coming to town.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever seen them live? I mean,
I have not.
I haven't seen them live since I was in seventh grade.
But they did have a great tweet about the Golden State Warriors.
Did they really?
When they went 22-0, they said, congratulations, you're only 4,765 wins away from our record.
I would love to see the Globetrotters again. They're fun. They had a couple of the Globetrotters were on The Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good tweet. Yeah. Whoever's working for the Globetrotters, you got to give them... They got to get a little bonus. All right, so a Variety came out. They weighed in on some of the snubs and some of the surprises for the Golden Globes. We won't do too many, but are you Andy, you a big movie guy?
So-so.
Yeah? What was the last one you saw?
Birdman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I still haven't seen it. Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that win the Oscar like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I've been a little
busy.
What
was the last one you saw? Birth of a Nation. Oh, really? That was the last movie you saw?
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane was a good one. Good pick. If you're going to see one, you might as well see Citizen Kane. They say that Johnny Depp should have been nominated for Black Mass, the Whitey Bulger story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody see that?
No.
No, me either. All right. Supposedly, according to Variety, that was good. The cast of Spotlight. Now, Dean was raving about Spotlight.
Yeah.
I was in for Roe a couple weeks ago. Richard Roper was raving about Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see it. It's about the investigative team from the Boston Globe that uncovered the church sex scandal, molestation scandal in Boston. They say that whole cast should have been nominated for a Golden Globe.
Terrific movie.
It was really good?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's one of those, on the surface, I think to myself, that's a pretty depressing subject matter. Do I want to invest? But then it's kind of got like an All of President's Men kind of feel,
yeah, it's about the process of the investigation. It's very interesting.
It sounds like it will be. It's one of the, unfortunately, I used to go to the theater all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I stay home and watch movies. Mm. I did go see Creed, though. Yeah. That's a movie right up your alley, Andy.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but my dad saw it and said it was phenomenal.
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thought it was
did you
really
like it,
good.
Steve? Yeah, I liked it, yeah.
And everybody's saying this was a great surprise. Sylvester Stallone nominated. And he, you know, there's talk that he may be nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, he should have been nominated, I think.
I
thought he did a great job.
I did, too. Yeah. And I liked how they stayed loyal to some of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it on and... You know, for the crit. Well, it was just a Rocky movie. Yeah, but that's why Rocky, the original one, won Best Picture because it was so good.
It made a ton of money.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. All right, we'll give you a chance to come and see us. Perhaps win. What's the equivalent? An Emmy? What could we win for our performances next week in this radio play?
Oh.
Some sort of Mazur Award?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah,
Andy's going to start an award. He's going to get a trophy. It'll be gilded in some sort of semi-precious metal.
Very semi-precious.
cubic zirconia
extremely
on top.
Yes.
Something.
It'll turn your finger green.
Ooh. Pewter.
Pewter. Could be pewter. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Very early American. So we'll give you a chance to win tickets in just a couple of minutes, and then we'll go over some of the things that are happening in town this weekend. There's a lot to get to, so we better get to it. But first, we have to get to the traffic, because Laura Vaughn has the traffic trouble spots on WGN. What are you waiting for, Michael? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to read something? All right. I've got too many papers. I apologize, folks. It's a battle under the boards on WGN-TV. Powell and the Bulls go up against Anthony Davis and the Pelicans Saturday at 6:30 on WGN-TV. Thank you, sir. The 8 o'clock hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks and Entertainment Talk on WGN. Usually with Dean is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. I told you we were going to give you a chance to come and see us in an exclusive radio play, Miracle on 34th Street. We're calling it Miracle on Jerry Wells Street. I will give you a chance. Here's what you have to do. You have to be the first person to call 312-981-7200 and tell us who will be playing Kris Kringle in the WGN radio production of Miracle on Jerry Wells Street. I've mentioned it all week. Other hosts have been mentioning it. You know who it is, so be the first caller at 312-981-7200, and you will win some exclusive tickets to be part of the studio audience for Miracle on Jerry Wells Street, our presentation and version of the radio play Miracle on 34th Street, starring your favorite WGN radio host, some WGN radio host that you just put up with because, really, you're being polite. But we're all here. Listen live from 8 to 10, or 10 to noon next Saturday. It's getting late. I need more coffee. Somebody bring me another coffee. I think I've hit the wall. I was doing good. 8:15 is where the wheels come completely off the train. That's when things happen.
I had 8:10 in the pool. How about you?
Was that right? Oh, well, I tried to win it for you. 10 to noon next Friday is December 18th. The whole shebang is sponsored by Lou Malnati's Pizzeria for delivery nationwide. Visit tastesofchicago.com. That's tastes with an S. Unlike Andrew High School, who was here before, they didn't have an S. So I'm catching on where that ending should be. Again, this is going to be fun. During the play, you can also keep an ear out. There will be mystery voices. Maybe Andy Major or Steve Alexander will be a mystery voice. We don't know. The point is, you'll be cued to call in, and you will guess that voice. If you guess correctly, you'll win a Chillcation package to stay at the Hilton Chicago or the Palmer House. So that's pretty good. Go to the contest page at WGNradio.com for full details and listen to Miracle on Jerry Wells Street on Friday, December 18th from 10 until noon. Let's see if we have a winner. Karen is in Glenview. Hi, Karen.
Hi, it's Sharon.
Sharon?
Yes.
Oh, well then. This one wasn't my fault. I'm sorry, Sharon.
I'm
going to go in and slap Michael around. Figuratively, okay. Not literally. Sharon, do you have the answer? Who's playing Kris Kringle in our radio production?
Steve Cochran.
Steve Cochran is indeed playing Kris Kringle. Very nicely done, Sharon or Karen. Whatever your name is, you're going to be in the audience. What's that?
I answer to anything.
All right. Well, will you be answering next Friday? Will we see you in Campbell Hall here in Tribune Tower?
Absolutely.
These are very exclusive tickets. I don't want to see them on the secondary market. I don't want to see you standing outside on Michigan Avenue trying to scalp them when I show up next Friday morning. Because
I will not do that.
I'm going to guess you could get twice face value. And since face value is zero, you would make no money. So it would be not worth your while to taunt the law. But you're going to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll get to see all your favorite WGN personalities. You'll get to see us try to navigate the logistics of all getting up to the microphones at the same time to present this fine piece of radio drama. So it's going to be a blast, and we're glad you're going to be with us, Sharon. So congratulations. Hold on, and Michael will get all your information.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Look at that. Sharon's going to be there. You guys going to come?
I will not be able to attend. Oh. That's probably why I'm not in it.
Is this a protest? Are you not attending me in protest?
No, no,
yeah, all right.
Well, no, but Sharon's going to be there.
Sharon's going to be there.
Yeah, representing my hometown.
Why not? Yeah. Let's come and see Sharon.
Yeah. Your hometown?
Glenview's your hometown?
Yeah.
Look at that. And now one of your proud residents will be there. And I think all the other shows are going to be giving away a pair of tickets as well, if they haven't already. We all got a pair of tickets to give away, so you can join us then. All right, let's see real quick what's going on around town this weekend. Some fun things. Smell you later. Curator and design historian Deborah Riley and scent artist David Moltz pair aromas with poetry. That sounds right up your alley, Steve. Aroma and poetry. I've got a limerick that goes to that, but we'll leave that. Yeah, I'll tell you off the air. It's running through February 19th at the Poetry Foundation, 61 West Superior. And tomorrow is Drinkmas. That's right up Andy's alley.
I'm there.
The 12 Bars of Christmas, T-Box for short, is a day-long bar crawl that actually includes stops at more than 40 Wrigleyville bars. Throw on an ugly holiday sweater and get to drinking. It starts at 8 a.m. If you're drinking at 8 a.m., I'll see you at the meeting on Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., various locations. You can go to festupparties.com and get involved in T-Box. That'll make for a fun Saturday afternoon and evening in Wrigleyville, but enjoy that. It actually does sound like it would have been fun for me about 20 years ago. Now it just sounds like, oh, I got to be up all day. No, thank you. All right. On the other side of the news, we're going to talk to a man who rides bulls for a living. You think you got it tough. You don't have to strap yourself on 3,000 pounds of angry cow just to make a living. We'll talk to Sean Willingham on the other side. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Ryan Noonan in for Steve Cochran. Steve, back with you on Monday morning, all rested and ready for the big stretch through the holidays. It's been a fun week. The 8 o'clock hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. You know, when you're a cowboy, you can handle a lot of things. Yeah. You can handle riding a bull. Mm-hmm. You can rope. You can wrangle.
Yep.
What you can't do is outsmart Chicago traffic.
Oh, yeah.
That is trouble. And that's why, instead of having Sean Willingham sitting across from me, I am speaking to him on the phone. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Fine. So you're stuck in traffic?
Yeah, this Chicago traffic's pretty interesting.
You know what would have gotten you through had you just ridden your bull? They would have gotten right out of your way.
The Red Sea would part.
Everything would have parted when you got a professional bull rider coming down the street. Sean Willingham is sponsored by PBR, the Rockstar, in the Professional Bull Riders Built Ford Tough Series, which is coming to the Allstate Arena on January 9th and 10th. I've had the privilege of going to one of these events a couple years ago. It is phenomenal. You have qualified for 11 world finals. You have broken your neck. You've been one of the longest. Right, you haven't missed a Built Ford Tough Series event since 2004. How can you do this? Because I got to be honest, Sean, and I know you've heard this before. Your line of work seems a little bit crazy.
It's definitely crazy, and you know it's a tough sport, and there's a lot of injuries that are involved with what we do in riding bulls. I mean, 160-pound man trying to, you know, go up against an 1,800-pound animal is there's going to be injuries, you know, down the road. I've had a pretty good career and been lucky enough to keep going for as long as I have, and you know, show up each and every week, and you know, and ride bulls for the fans that come out and watch us and give them great entertainment.
So you've had 7 straight world finals appearances. You've finished as high as 4th in the world. How does somebody become a professional bull rider? Did you always ride bulls? Did you rodeo in different ways and then come into bull riding? How'd you end up where you are?
I cut my eye, you know, at a young age, and I wanted to try it. And, you know, I played sports growing up all through school, and, you know, I was big in basketball growing up. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to play basketball in the NBA. And, you know, I got introduced to the sport of bull riding at about age of 15, and, you know, I started getting on and went to some high school rodeos, and I did some amateur level stuff, you know, by my house. And, you know, then I got a full scholarship to college to ride bulls, and I went out to college for a little while and then turned professional. So it was something that, you know, it wasn't in the family. Nobody in my family has ever rode bulls or even rodeoed or rode horses. So it was just something at a young age, you know, I thought was interesting. And once I tried it, you know, it was very challenging to me. And, you know, it didn't come easy. And that's what gave me the drive to keep going back to it. And then I realized, you know, once I got to figuring out I could stay on one for 8 seconds, that they would pay you money to do that. And so in high school, you know, I'm like, heck, I can go this rodeo or bull riding this weekend and make, you know, $1,000, and my brother's having to work being a waiter or a bus boy, and he's only making, you know, $100 a night. And I'm all like, this makes sense. I'm just gonna ride bulls.
Yeah, but nobody at the restaurant's gonna step on his head.
true. I mean, the fear factor was definitely there, but I was always a daredevil, I guess, as a younger kid anyways.
So you go up to your mom and your dad and you say, hey, I want to ride bulls. What's their reaction?
They told me I was crazy, and that would never happen. That's what they said. And so it took me a little while. It probably took them 2 months for me, you know, just aggravating them every day. We'd come home after school, and it's me and probably 4 or 5 of my friends, and we just kept on aggravating. I knew my dad knew the guy that puts on our local hometown rodeo every year, and we just kept on and kept on. And eventually, I guess he's all like, all right, I'm just going to take these kids and let them get it out of their system. And my other buddies, they got it out of their system the first one, and then my reaction, I told my dad I want to get on another one right away. And he said, oh, no, we're in trouble. And I was like, I just want to try it again. You know, it's still riding me. So,
hey, Sean, can you tell when you climb on that bull whether it's going to be a good ride?
Most of the time I can. I try to think that it's going to be a good ride every time I get on one. But sometimes they have a different plan, you know, in mind too.
Now, Sean, you're coming in for the PBR Built Ford Tough Series at the Allstate Arena. For those who don't know, I mean, everybody kind of knows bull riding. You mentioned it before, 8 seconds. But what else goes in to the judging? Because when I was sitting in the Allstate Arena watching the event, it was really exciting. But all I knew was the cowboy stayed on or the cowboy fell off.
Yeah, we have to ride 8 seconds, and then within that 8 second ride, there's judges that will be, they'll judge the bull scored 1 to 50 and the rider 1 to 50 for a total of 100 points. So you want a better bull to where the bull has a higher score, and if you sit on top of him in total control, your points are going to be as higher as well.
Well, how do they judge the bull?
You don't want to be hanging on the side or nothing and trying to just hang on, because that'll give you a lower score on your end of the deal.
So you want to sit up kind of straight. The guys I saw who scored the highest, they're sitting up kind of straight. They got the one arm up. They're looking good. Yep. But how do they judge the bull?
Just on how high they kick, how fast they spin. If they have any tricks, you know, there's different caliber bulls. You know, some of them you'll see that really just jump real high in the air and go straight across the arena or stay close and don't spin. And the difficulty is not there, so. The more difficult the bull is to ride, and if we stay in control, the higher the points are for the bull.
And is that a random pick for the cowboys? Do they just, you go in and they say, all right, Sean, this ride you're going with bull number 18, and you know, well, in the past this bull's scored pretty high, but, you know, you never really know what's happening?
Yeah, that's it. This is all a random draw, and so we just go with whatever that computer spits out to us, and you know, hopefully you draw one of those better bulls that's going to give you a good score, and keep riding, you know, hopefully you do that all weekend long so you can accumulate, you know, two or three rides together to be that champion for that weekend.
Well, now, I would imagine that they, you know, they're picking these bulls based on what they've done in the past. Have you ever gotten on a bull that you've seen guys ride before and this bull is jumping all over the place and it's one that you figure you're going to get some good points off of and the bull that day is just a little bit tired and just wanders out of the chute and says, you know what, Sean, I'm not going anywhere today.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit, you know, more often than you would think. You draw one of those better bulls, and they just have an off day, and, you know, your score's low, but you're liable to still ride them and have a pretty good score to give you a chance to place good in the average for the, because it's all accumulated over the weekend for as an average. You'll get on two bulls, and then the top 15 will get on the third bull on that last day.
In all your professional riding, Sean, what's the scariest moment you've had on a bull?
Oh, I guess probably when I cracked my skull would have been the scariest for me overall. And then recently everybody's all like, you know, I broke my neck last April. And it didn't really bother me that bad. I didn't think that was my worst injury I'd ever had, you know, because my neck never hurt. It just kind of hurt more my shoulders and everywhere else. But my neck never bothered me, so I think that's why I come back to competition so soon, because my neck, it never really did bother me at all.
Wow.
Considering it's your neck, and you know, that's probably the most dangerous thing you could hurt, you know, as a doing anything in life.
Do you wear a helmet?
I do wear a helmet. So after I cracked my skull, I wore a helmet after that. I think that would have been definitely my scariest moment.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. That just, that sounds awful. All right, so the Professional Bull Riders Chicago Invitational kicks off the 2016 season. It's at the Allstate Arena, January 9th and 10th. So it's a two-day event. How does that run? What happens the first day, and then what happens the second day?
The first day, you'll have all 35 guys will get on a bull. And then the second day, the same 35 guys will get on the second bull, and then they take the two highest scores or one score, and they bring the top 15 as the average back to get on a third bull. So sometimes you can squeak in there on one bull, and, you know, if you have a good ride, say if you're in the higher upper 80s, low 90s, you'll get on a chance to get on a third bull in a short round. And if you're successful there, you still could come out, a champion just on two bulls, and if nobody stays on three.
And how important are the clowns?
Oh, man, they're our lifesavers. If it wasn't for them, there'd be a lot more wrecks out there in the arena. And those guys amaze me every time I see them go. And just knowing they're in the arena, you know, that gives us confidence to take care of our part, and, you know, and gives us a little bit of relief knowing that they're out there to save us when the ride is over.
Are they former riders themselves, or are there guys who just specialize in being the rodeo clowns?
That's all they do. I haven't seen nobody that does
you know, there's a few guys that was X4 riders, but not at this level. The guys that we have now, you know, that's what they was born to do. And I guess, you know, they was raised up in the bullfighting world. And they started at a young age like I did, you know, riding bulls. They started at a young age practicing fighting them and knowing where to be at when the ride is over.
Yeah, that's a gutsy. I mean, your job is gutsy. That job is gutsy. Well, Sean, I'm sorry you couldn't make it in. Hopefully traffic treats you a little better as the day goes on. Good luck when the Professional Bull Riders Chicago Invitational kicks off. It's January 9th and 10th. If folks want to go see you, they can go to Ticketmaster.com and get their tickets. They can go to the Allstate Arena box office, or they can call 800-745-3000. Tickets start as low as $20. It's easy to get tickets, and I'll tell you, I didn't know what to expect, and I went to my first event, and it was a blast. For more information, they can go to pbr.com. Sean, good luck, and keep that helmet on. We don't want your skull getting cracked again.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
Take care. That's Sean Willingham. He is one of the big riders, a guy who has never missed a Built Ford Tough Series event since 2004. He's had 7 straight World Finals appearances, and yet he is bested by Chicago traffic, as we all are.
It's too bad they don't have a pro-am. I'd love to see you get out there on a bull.
I rode a mechanical bull once.
Yeah.
I got on the bull. I went up.
Mm-hmm.
I went down.
Yeah.
The bull went up, and I just kept going. And this was back when I was a lot bigger. Uh-huh. And bigger Brian flying through the air, landing on these mats, not fun at all. So if you want to see real bull riders, and if you're skeptical, trust me, you got to see this event, because watching these guys on these animals is crazy good fun. The Professional Bull Riders Built Ford Tough Series, again, January 9th and 10th at the Allstate Arena. Go to Ticketmaster.com, PBR.com. Go to the Allstate Arena box office. If you see a cowboy walking down the street with a bull, stop him. He might have some tickets. I don't know any other way you can get tickets. I couldn't make it easier for you. We'll do some more on the other side. It's WGN. The 8 o'clock hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Ugly, ugly night on the ice in Nashville last night. Some people are trying to say it was because Coach Q talked to me yesterday morning. I will refuse to believe that, Andy, because I never wish anything but the best for the Blackhawks. But man, oh man, that was dismal.
Yeah, something about that building going down 3-0.
You know, yeah, it's we got to do it. We got to do the Blackhawks Express. I'm sure the train will be much shorter today than it was the other night. But why not? Let's go. It's the Blackhawks Express. Choo choo, Charlie.
Champion Chicago Blackhawks hit the Music City ice for the first time this season in preparation for a rematch with Nashville. And now that they've jumped over the Predators and into third place in the Central Division, the question is, can they hold on to that spot and widen the points gap against their division rivals here tonight? Gulmerson took it, spun it around, not out. A shot from the left wing boards. Head off the stick of Victor Arvidsson. That deflection on goal, turned wide by Darling. Then in behind the Hawk net. Here's Ribeiro, put it out in front. Craig Smith, a point blank shot. And Darling early on got in front of that, knocking it away. Giving the save of the game there inside the first 2 minutes. Here now Weber, Predator line right wing. Shot the puck ahead. Neal in the Hawk line down the slot. Shoots and scores. Predators a 1-0 lead. Here's Arvidsson over the Hawk line, down the left wing, shovels it in front for Smith, and Darling goes down and knocks it away. But the rebound, they score. Oh, Scott Darling did everything he could to keep that shot out of the net. Looked like he poke checked Craig Smith, but Arvidsson and Smith were right there to make sure that it ended up in the back of the Hawk net. This should go to Smith. 2-0 Predators. Renee gave the puck to Josi. He'll carry back up ice through center ice, crossing the Hawk line, left it at the left point. Shot in from there. They score. Philip Forsberg in front of the net. Josi just flipped it and deflected through the air in front of the Hawk net. Philip Forsberg slipped in behind the Hawk net and stuck it in behind Darling. It's a power play goal. 3-0 Nashville. Here's Shaw crossing the Predator line. Fed the left circle, and Isimov put it out in front for Shaw, and he got a shot away. Point blank chance, and on Rene, who made the save with a pass. Shaw falls into Rene, who got back to his feet. The puck is sent all the way down now by Seth Jones. And icing is called here against the Nashville Predators.
That's a big save by Pecorine. Blackhawks battling the way back into this game, or at least trying to.
Starts him, and Anisimov takes the puck out. Put it out on the right wing to Kane at center ice. Kane cutting in over the Predator line to the right circle. Hit the trailer. Panarin shoots. Save is made by Rinne. How did he make that stop? Oh, man, did Panarin hammer that shot from about 15 feet out, and Pecorine got his body in front of it. Keith into the Predator zone, left point, shoots! Down is Rinne, rebound, score!
Kane.
It's Patrick Kane! His 601st point in the National Hockey League extends his scoring streak to 24 games, and the Hawks are on the board at 3-1, but they're going to review the goal. He'll carry out the center ice, trying to squeeze it through the legs of Neal, who took the puck away into the Hawks zone. Left circle, shoots and scores. That's his second goal of the night. And with 5:05 left in the third period, that could make it an insurmountable lead for the Predators. 4-1 is the score. Teravainen on the right half boards. Back to Rundblad. To Teravainen, top of the right circle. Hulsa bottom on the right. Walks it out in front. Got away a shot. It's knocked wide. A backhand shot toward the empty Hawk. Yes, they score. And I believe it's going to be Eric Nystrom who will get the goal. And if so, that's his second goal in as many games and second against the Blackhawks. And this will put it away. Teravainen at center ice. Off his stick to Forsberg. He'll end the game by spinning it off the left boards and down behind the Hawk net, where Hjalmarsson is waiting, and the horn sounds ending the game. Predators avenge their loss at the United Center here tonight in Nashville as they beat the Blackhawks 5-1. And with the win, the Predators now fall back over the Blackhawks. They now have 35 points to the Hawks' 34.
All right, thank you, John. That is Blackhawks Express. The less said about last night's game, the better. The Hawks taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. The pregame with Judd at 7 o'clock. Puck drops at 7:30 right here on 720 WGN. And if you're looking to erase last night's memory and perhaps dwell in better times, you might want to pick up One Goal Three. It's the book chronicling, a beautiful book chronicling the last Stanley Cup championship run. It's available at all Blackhawks stores and shopnhl.com. And Hat Trick, the DVD Blu-ray, is on sale now. You can get that at Blackhawks stores, shopnhl.com, or your local Jewel Osco. So pick those up for yourself or for the Hawks fan in your life for a holiday gift. And real quick, let's go back, revisit. We got a lot of texts when Sean Willingham, the Bull Rider, mentioned that he got a scholarship for bull riding. People are like, what school offers scholarships for bull riding? Western Texas College in Snyder, Texas. If you're an aspiring bull rider, you think you have talent, you want to get a college scholarship, that's where you should check. You like that? All right. Let's do this, then it's news time, WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. Brian Noonan in for Steve, who will be back with you on Monday at about 9:20 or so. I'm going to give you a chance to go on a Granite Peak ski vacation. All you need to do is pay attention, and that's how you will win those tickets. You must always pay attention, Steve. You know that. I don't like to just give people prizes for dialing a number.
What'd you say?
They must pay attention. Oh. You do not win. Very exciting. If you have not seen The Lion King, you are missing a performance that is just unbelievable. And I'm not the only one saying this. The Lion King has been around for years. It began in 94 as the cartoon, as you know. Huge, huge Broadway success. Huge success in Chicago. And it is back for a limited 7-week engagement through Sunday, January 17th, at the Cadillac Palace Theater. And I'm happy to welcome in two of the cast members. Aaron Nelson is Simba and Nia Holloway is Nala. Thank you both for... And Aaron, I don't know what happened to your chair. You've got one of those chairs that have sunk way down, so I'm going to try to... I see you over there. I know you're lurking behind the screen. Thanks for you both for coming in. I thought it was funny that we said to you, oh, is this early for you guys? And you were both like, yes, yes. We're in the theater. This is very early. And it's after 9 o'clock. Well, welcome. We'll start with Nia. Are you just joining the cast? Is that what I read, that you're new to the cast of The Lion King?
You could say new compared to some of the other people who have been in it. I've been in the show for going on 3 years in June. Yeah, started when I was 17, so that's probably it's probably why people say new, because I'm still a kid. But I've been with the show for almost 3 years.
3 years, that's a pretty good run. Now, what's your theater background before you joined The Lion King?
Well, I was always in musical theater in school, like in middle school and in high school. I did local theater in Atlanta, where I live, and I had like training outside of school and stuff like that. Yeah.
And Aaron, now, how long have you been in the cast?
It'll be 3 years in June of next year as well.
And you're a Chicago native, right?
Absolutely.
What'd you do before you got into The Lion King?
Well, I did regional theater here in Chicago. I did Columbine's 2.0 at American Theater Company. I did Rent at American Theater Company. I did Dreamgirls at Theater 47 at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. And I was a performer and singer at Six Flags Great America.
Oh, wow. What'd you do at Six Flags?
I was in the Fright Fest show. They had a trolley show, and we were like dancing, singing zombies. So
very
that was
nice.
A good time.
Dancing and singing zombies. You can't beat that. Look at how jealous Nia is all of a sudden. Oh, I never got to be a singing zombie. So now, 3 years ago, you both joined the cast of this production that has been wildly successful for years. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a lot of pressure, more pressure than stuff you'd done in the past?
Oh, for sure. This show has an amazing history to it, and it's been around for so long. And it's really humbling to be a part of such a timeless show, as you can see, because it's been around for so long. So.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I was the first guy cast into the Broadway Simba since the opening guy, because usually they'll pull someone from the ensemble or from another company from the tour or somewhere around the world, and I was the first guy to go straight into it, so it was a ton of pressure. And I think I was the youngest at that time, too, to do it. So
is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, when this happens and you brought into this show, and I'm guessing a production of this magnitude, it's a machine. So there's not a lot of time for you to ramp up, right? You've got to jump in and hit the ground running?
I had a five-week learning period. Okay. Learning period, yeah. That was like rehearsals, but it was like long hours and, you know, all day. And it was, I mean, every day for 5 weeks. That might sound like a long time, but it wasn't.
I would imagine it's not to learn all the intricacies of this production.
Yeah, but we perform 8 shows a week, so you never stop learning. It's like a, you know, on the job learning also too.
Yeah, I compare it to, you know, it's like being an NBA player or something. Actually, our schedule is probably more rigorous because we have something 6 days a week. There are not no 2 days or 3 days off.
Right.
And it's like being in season year round. There is no off season. You have to keep going and going and going and going and going. It doesn't stop.
What's the biggest challenge when you're on stage doing a production this size?
Really every night giving the same energy to an audience. I think that's important. You know, no matter what, you might be homesick or you might not be feeling well, I think it's important to give that audience the same, you know, to give them an amazing experience. So I think every night trying to find a new inspiration, a new inspiration to give the audience.
Yeah, because I would imagine it would be tough. You're doing, you said, 8 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of us, after a while, if you're doing the same thing over and over, even as exciting as being in The Lion King is, there's got to be times where your mind would start to drift. And you're like, oh, what am I going to have for dinner? Oh, you know, I got to sing.
You really can't go into an autopilot. You know, you have to force yourself every show to give it the same attention. And, you know, it starts off stage, too. You know, you can't take days off working out or working on your voice. You just can't, you know, the people who pay, you know, these tickets and these families that are seeing the show for the first time, and a lot of families, you know, and for children, it's their first time seeing theater.
Right.
So it's really important that you, that we give the attention and specificity every single show. And it can be hard, like you say, sometimes you're up there and it's like, oh, look, I would like a deep dish pizza right now. but, you know, you just really have to stay focused. And luckily, we have each other. And, you know, times that I fall out of rhythm and I get on autopilot, I just look at Nia and I can see she's focused. And it's like, okay, we're back. So let's do it.
Yeah, same.
Aaron Nelson is Simba and Nia Holloway is Nala. They are in the production of The Lion King, which is in a seven-week limited engagement. It's running through January 17th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. You can get your tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com or go to the Cadillac Palace Theater box office, which is at 24 West Randolph Street. If people haven't seen The Lion King, how would you, because, you know, most of us, if you have kids, you've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And people might be, you mentioned it's for families and a lot of kids will come to this. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it to somebody who hasn't seen it? Because until you see the production, you can't really fathom it.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's really a one of a kind thing. You know, like you said, it's kind of ineffable to describe it. But I would say, if you've never seen theater before, if you've never seen a Broadway show, even if you have seen theater, if you want to see the costumes, the puppetry, and our opening number, I would say is the best opening number in musical theater history. You know, and it's not just for kids. Yeah, and it's not one of those things people think is just for families or just for kids or it's just a kids show. It's a good date night thing if you're for adults. It's for kids. It's for everybody because everyone can get something out of the show.
Yeah, I don't care how old you are. It's a magnificent visual, which is always great. And you know, people come in, they expect the movie. Well, the story's the same, mm-hmm. but the visuals and the acting and the singing, it's just great.
So much more emotional. And, you know, you'll get even more emotionally invested because you see real people up there, you know. All I can really say is you're going to have an amazing time. If you're 9 years old, if you're 90 years old, and when those lights go down, prepare to be amazed.
All right, now I have to ask you this. I talked to some folks the other day from the Goodman for a Christmas Carol, and I'll ask you the same kind of thing, because we've heard a lot of stories about Broadway performances stopping because audience members are being unbelievably rude. What have you experienced from an audience that you just went, I can't believe you paid this kind of money to come see a show like this and you're acting this way?
I don't think I've ever experienced anything ridiculous. I mean, you have the regular crying babies, the man who's coughing really, really loud and won't just get up. But nothing super, super obnoxious. And then you really, honestly, though, we probably don't even hear half of the things people are doing because you have to be so focused and we probably only can hear like the first three rows.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have like the kid who's like, you know, Scar's doing something. I know one kid was like, he's bad. Like heard one kid do that one time.
Right.
You know, sometimes it kills me, you know, because all the lights are low. So when we look onto the audience, we see blackness and we'll see some of the exit signs or something like that. And you see this guy or a woman in the front row just on their cell phone the whole time. I'm like, you must not have bought this ticket.
Yeah. I was going to say, you didn't pay the price. And tickets, Broadway tickets are expensive, but tickets start at $35 mm-hmm. to see The Lion King. So there's a price point for everybody. Listen, Aaron, Nia, it was very nice meeting you. Congratulations.
Oh,
break a leg on the rest of the run.
Thank you.
Lion King runs now through Sunday, January 17th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get tickets. You can go to the Cadillac Palace Theater box office, which is at 24 West Randolph. Do you like using the phone? Sure. Call 800-775-2000. You can get your tickets there. Aaron Nelson is Simba and Nia Holloway is Nala. Go see them in The Lion King. Nice job, guys. Well, good luck and break a leg. All right, let's do this, and then we'll give you a chance. Do you like skiing? You want to go skiing for a couple days on us? Well, hang around. We'll give you a chance on WGN. Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran. Are you a skier? Andy, do you ski?
I've skied twice in my life.
How'd it go?
The first time, okay.
Second time,
okay. I didn't fall, but...
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I've got a bad wheel, so it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, that's not a thing for those of us who have knees or legs that are not cooperating fully. But people do love to ski, and I have a chance for you to go skiing for two nights. It's a Granite Peak ski vacation. It's a package for two, including two nights lodging at the Plaza of Wausau and 2 days of skiing. Granite Peak at Rib Mountain in Wausau, Wisconsin has 72 runs for skiers and snowboarders. Visit SkiGranitePeak.com to plan your getaway. Now, you know my philosophy. I don't just give you a prize because you know how to dial a phone. What you have to do is tell me if you were paying attention, like I told you to do earlier. Where is The Lion King playing? What theater is The Lion King playing at? And you will win this fabulous ski vacation for two, valued at, Andy, $475.
Wow.
That's right. All
pretty
you had to, that's a pretty good prize. I feel very generous. I didn't pay for it, but I'm willing to give it to somebody and tell you what it's worth. That way, and now the IRS knows, too, if you win what it's worth. So all you have to do is be the first caller at 312-981-7200 to tell us what theater The Lion King is playing at. Hopefully you were paying attention. Now I see that you probably had time to Google. The phones are all ringing. Michael's answering, and we will find out who wins that ski vacation. So that's pretty cool.
Wait, the IRS is listening?
I assume the IRS is listening to everything I do.
Okay.
I think the government is listening, which the IRS is part of. I believe law enforcement is tracking my every move, even though I have nothing to hide and there's no interest in me, but I still am that paranoid that something is happening.
Maybe we need medication.
Well, by we, do you mean you or do you mean me?
I just mean me then.
All right. Who knows? Maybe I need medication. I don't know. You know what I need, Andy? One of those big coffees that you had earlier, yeah. Even though yours is...
I could use another one.
Yeah, we got to get... at 10 o'clock, when we get out of here, we can go have coffee. And then I think Hannah and Dane are in today. Is that correct? Somebody should
tell me. I saw Hannah down the hall.
All right, I'm going to guess Hannah's here. She says that she lets everybody stroke her hair. I'm not going to take her up on that. Do we have a winner? Let's see. Doug's in Sycamore. Hi, Doug.
How's it going?
It's going well. Could be going better for you if you tell me what theater The Lion King is playing at.
The Cadillac Palace Theater.
Cadillac Palace Theater is exactly right. You are going skiing at Granite Peak. You're going to stay two nights at the Plaza of Wausau. You're going to have 2 days of skiing at Granite Peak at Rib Mountain in Wausau, Wisconsin. You'll enjoy 72 runs for skiers and snowboarders. And everybody else who did not win can go to skigranitepeak.com and plan their own getaway. Doug, congratulations. Way to pay attention.
Thanks. Sounds fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on. See, that's what happens when you pay attention right here on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, it has been a pleasure sitting in on the Steve Cochran Show this week. I'm Brian Noonan, wrapping things up in about 20 minutes. But before we do, Andy, let's go back quickly to this FanDuel story, because this is a huge thing. I'm not a fantasy guy, but I know a lot of people use these online fantasy sites, these daily fantasy games, and... we knew that the injunction came out about a month ago that said these sites couldn't operate in New York. Some other states are looking at it as well. What's the latest? What do we got going now?
Well, basically, the blocking was upheld today by a state Supreme Court in New York, denying the attempts for these two companies to do their business still in the state of New York and those other states you were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is not a determination of whether or not these sites are doing legal business.
Right.
That will be determined at a later date. But they've come under fire. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding both of these companies because
almost like insider trading.
Well, they were doing business on each other's sites.
Yeah.
And winning money. And, I mean, it just doesn't seem like that's... And totally legit.
Right. And once that came out, then the companies both said, well, we've banned our employees from using any of these sites.
Right.
And then they said, well, you know, and the bets were all, the games were all in before the stats came out, which I find a little hard to believe because that's all these guys do is these kind of stats. So they'd know them anyway.
Yeah. And their big argument is that they say that these games are not based on gambling. They're based on skill, which... You know, if you really know what you're doing, you're not going to lose, right?
Right. No, then nobody should lose. If
exactly.
It's all, well, you could argue there's some people have more skill than others.
Yeah, and there's money changing hands here. So, I mean, this is, you know, a case of whether or not it will be determined as it's gambling or legal.
Well, people want to bet. People want to wager on everything.
People are going to do it what they, you know, they're if they want to place a bet.
Right,
you're going to be able to find a place to bet.
Well, you know, down the street on LaSalle Street at the Chicago Board of Trade,
that's legal.
It is a game, if you will, of skill.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but it's still a gamble.
Right, because there's always volatility.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We talk about it every day. You talk about it could be weather, it could be this, it could be the glut of oil and then no demand for oil, and so you're taking that all into effect. And no matter how much you've studied the commodities,
right.
There's a lot going on there. So no matter how many stats you have on your favorite football team or basketball team or whatever, things can happen.
Yeah. And these two companies have become huge in the industry. I mean, we're talking major sponsorships.
Yeah. And they're involved with
the
NFL. They're involved
with the NHL as well.
Yeah, and the NHL. So all these – and I know the leagues are keeping an eye on this too because suddenly it's like, oh, wait a minute. We got in bed with these companies, which – Seems fine right now, but who knows down the road what might happen?
Well, it seems a bit ironic with, with, you know, baseball especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we can't – listen, you bet on a game, we can't let you in the Hall of Fame. But come here. Lay your – and listen, it goes all the way back to the days of bookies. Why do you think they put out injury reports?
Right.
You know, it's let's not be naive here. There's a whole – there was an industry before this industry – all based on gambling. If you've ever been to a sports book at a casino, these are not, you know, they're not. It's not hundreds of dollars. It's millions and millions of dollars that's being traded.
And, of course, the old saying is these hotels are not built on winners.
No. And we'll see. Maybe the government just wants a little more of a taste, you know?
Well, that's true. It's true, too.
It's
worth watching. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you got to dip the beak a little bit. You got to let the feds wet their beak. It is worth watching. We will see it. Now, do you fantasy?
I do fantasy. We have a league, bragging rights only.
Oh, okay. No money exchanges hands?
No money's exchanged hands.
Really?
We might be one of the very few leagues in the
world?
United States and the world that do that. But, you know, we have folks that are in our league that are from all different walks of life as far as the legality of being able to gamble in your profession. So we just decided, we just wanted to keep playing, so we decided there'd be no money changing hands so everybody could play.
Well, the Cochran Show has the Wang Dang Doodle.
I know. Those guys are always, every Monday. Yeah,
no money exchanged.
Well, that's what they say.
Bragging rights sometimes are better.
I've seen envelopes pass between Dave and Kevin and Mary and Andrea. Everybody's,
I wasn't aware of that.
Everybody's got a little something. Steve wears a money belt. And every Monday morning I see things, you know, they're rifling through, there's crumpled bills, there's hushed tones. A lot of things going on in the hallways here that we don't know about, Steve. Which is probably best.
Yes.
There's
right.
a lot it's a lot of times ignorance is truly bliss. Mm-hmm. And you gotta just turn a blind eye to certain things so you can focus on other things.
Careful, the IRS is listening.
Let the IRS listen. They got nothing on me. I know they can only, I've watched enough movies. They can only listen for a few seconds. And then if I don't say anything incriminating, they got to turn off the tape recorder. And then by the time they turn it back on, I've already moved on to some other topic.
What movie was that?
Every movie. Every wiretap movie in the history of America. Every mob movie, every insider trading movie. They always, that's why they'll get the wife on the phone. She'll say something, and then the guy will get on, you know, and spread his evil ways. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this. And then we've got it's the holiday season and some very troubling news, but there's a way you can help. So we'll get to all of that on the other side right here on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran, 720 WGN. This is sad news. Cook County's Toys for Tots charity has issued an appeal for more donations. You've been hearing about it on the news. It has fallen well short of the number of toys requested by families in need. That is very, very sad. We got to get some toys out. Officials said Toys for Tots, which is operated, as you know, by the U.S. Marine Corps, is in need of tens of thousands more toys by December 16th. So we got about a week. We got till Wednesday. It's the latest date the donations can be received to ensure that they are delivered for Christmas. Gunnery Sergeant Jesus Castaneda was profiled in the Trib. He said he knows what it's like to be one of those children receiving toys from a charitable organization. That is, he was a child growing up in the Little Village neighborhood. He received his first Monopoly board game from St. Agnes Church in Chicago. The toys he and his three siblings received were likely provided by Toys for Tots or a similar organization. So as a Marine volunteering in the Toys for Tots warehouse, he recognized St. Agnes on a list of entities requesting toys. He personally delivered toys to the church. He says it had an impact on me when I was a kid. I was fortunate enough to be able to get a gift when I was a kid, and now I want to return the favor. And we all should do that as well. 97% of all cash donations is spent providing toys, books, and other gifts to children. If you donate to Toys for Tots, 3% goes toward the cost of fundraising for the organization. No money is spent on salaries or any other costs. So check out Toys for Tots. But listen, if you don't want to go to Toys for Tots, how about helping out Rokan tomorrow? Because Rokan is going to help put a dent in this need for toys. He is going to be at Apple, where is he going to be? Yes, Apple Chevy. That's what I thought, but I couldn't find it on here. He's going to be at Apple Chevrolet tomorrow from noon to 3. Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park, Saturday, December 12th. Ro is going to be there. We need you to bring a new unwrapped toy or game and come out to join Ro at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park tomorrow from noon to 3 for a U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots drive. You need to drop off your toy, and then you can stay. Enjoy complimentary food from the Black Sheep of Orland Park and their all-new menu. Bring your kids, because Santa's going to be there.
Ho, ho, ho.
Exactly. Ho, ho, ho. And not see, and it's good. You bring your kids and you teach them. This is the great thing about programs like Toys for Tots. Because if you get your kids involved, you show them that Christmas isn't all about just getting stuff. Yeah. Even though you can go and talk to Santa and tell him what you want, you're also giving toys to kids who, you know, maybe Santa can't make it to their house this year for whatever reason. So you're helping out. So it's a valuable lesson for kids. Roe's going to be out there. You can also enter for a chance to win great prizes, including Chicago Blackhawks tickets, courtesy of WGN Radio. So let's spread some holiday cheer. Huh? Help us out. Help out the Marine Corps. Help out the kids who need this. Help the Marine Corps Reserve be able to bring toys as Christmas gifts to less fortunate children in the community. You can get more information online at WGNradio.com/events. Again, Roe is going to be at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park tomorrow, December 12th, from noon until 3. You need to get out there and bring a new unwrapped toy and help the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots toy drive. It is it's a great cause.
Is Anna going to be there?
I don't. It doesn't say.
Well,
I don't
want, because some people don't really care that much about Roe, but they do want to see Anna.
I don't blame them on either count of there, but I don't know. And I don't want to say yes or no, because I don't know. It's right. Listen, I told you before, I'm Ron Burgundy. It's not on my sheet, Steve. I can read what's on the sheet, but I'm not going to, because God forbid I make the pronouncement that Anna is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not there.
Right.
And then you got somebody disgruntled. Mm-hmm. They brought some nice new toys to donate to the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots. And Anna's not there, and then they put them back in their car and they drive away.
Yeah. Awful.
Then the people at Apple Chevrolet are mad. The Marines are mad.
At you.
At me. Rose mad
at
me.
You don't want Marines mad at you.
No, I don't want. Listen, I don't want Marines mad at me. I don't want Roe mad at me. I don't want Chevy dealers mad at me.
No.
And I don't want kids who are waiting for toys to be mad at me.
No.
Even though they wouldn't be mad at me, they would just be mad in general, and I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah.
So go out and help. And again, you can go to WGNradio.com/events to get all the details. What else we got? That's pretty much it. We're wrapping things up. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? We're just about done. But this has been a lot of fun. So what do you got planned for the weekend, Andy? I'm trying to figure out what a single successful man does over the holidays when he's got a weekend off.
Yeah. Let's see. He watches a lot of sports on television.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe he'll even go to a game or two. Maybe. I haven't really decided that
maybe
yet.
Maybe you go to Tinley Park.
Maybe
get
I'll
yourself a Hungry
Park.
Hungry Hippo game.
Maybe I'll go to Hungry Hungry Hippos.
We got a new game at the house. Have you guys seen this Pie Face game?
No.
It's the most popular game for the holiday season, according to commercials and YouTube videos. You put your head, you know when you go to like an amusement park and you put your face through one of those pictures?
Yeah.
So you put your face through this picture, and there's a hand on a lever, mm-hmm. and you fill that hand with the Ready Whip or whatever the whipped cream is of your choice.
Yeah.
And as it goes around, you're cranking this little gear, and it go, you know, you move to the next mm-hmm. person, and you crank the gear, and somebody gets a pie in the face.
Oh.
And it's a lot of fun. I know it does. You make it a face like it wouldn't be fun to get whipped cream in your face, Steve.
So you're standing next to a...
We're sitting around a table.
Oh, you just
take turns,
around.
And it okay. Yeah, it just rotates, right. And you take turns, and you spin the dial, you spin the spinner.
And at some point, that lever goes,
bang.
And boom.
Yeah. There. And hopefully not hard enough to break your nose.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen any of that. It hasn't broken our noses yet. But you got to be ready to get messy. Not something to play at a formal affair.
No, probably not.
Perhaps a wedding reception, a black tie ball.
No.
But why not? What do you got to be so stuffy for?
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's the one. This is my wife yells at me all the time, every holiday, because her family was a big game-playing family when they get together. Were your families like that? Did you
not
play
so
a lot?
Much. No.
Yeah, mine either. Yeah. Because ours would always devolve into some sort of horrible fight. Can I just hear a German Shepherd in the hallway?
I think so.
Are there animals running around? What are Hen and Dane having on their show? Oh, we're reenacting Noah's Ark. Oh, okay. That'll be fun. But we never played a lot of games, and my wife's family always played games. So now we'll get together, and she's like, let's all play games. And my brothers and I just look at her like, you don't want to play games with us, because this is not going to end well. Someone will be accused of cheating. Inevitably, a knife will come out. Somebody's getting cut, and all over because I couldn't get the funny bone out of the operation guy quick enough.
Yeah.
So no, we don't play. Don't play cards. Don't play euchre. None of that.
I've got an entertainment suggestion.
Do you
tonight 8 o'clock at the Park West? Tommy Emmanuel is in concert, the certified guitar picker. Very Steve nice. And Johnny will be there to introduce them, and also they'll be autographing their books.
A little more or less.
A little more or less.
A little more or less, which would make a great holiday gift.
It would.
For people who know how to read.
Or just look at the pictures.
Right, or people who just like to press stuff flat.
Yes.
Might come in handy that way, too, if you can't read. It's a great book. A lot of great pictures. Steve and Johnny did a wonderful job on it. And so what time is the Tom Emanuel show? Any idea? 8 o'clock at the Park West.
Yeah.
Steve and Johnny will be introducing them. They will have books for sale. Steve always has books for sale in his trunk.
Yeah.
Not even Steve and Johnny books, just any book. Steve finds it up on the floor. He's selling books out of it. You got to supplement your income.
Sure.
Guys always got to be hustling. Mm-hmm. That's what we know. Let's do this. Then we'll come back and find out if Hannah and Dana actually are wrangling live animals on their program, or if the bull rider finally got here. Maybe that happened too. We'll see what happens. All right, I have to find out because Hannah and Dane have come into the studio. They're sitting in for Bill and Wendy.
I love pajamas.
Sure, who doesn't now?
I feel dirty.
That's the.
Do they have any motorized options? You said caressing in there.
Caressing, curves. I said a lot of things.
Yeah, you did.
I tried to block most of it out.
There's so much alliteration.
And now all I can think about is stroking your luxurious hair because that commercial haunts me in my dreams. I heard a lot of animal sounds out in the hallway. Are you? Do you have?
Oh my!
What's
coughing?
Going on out there?
I apologize.
Oh, was it your coffin?
I think. It was either that or the people from Lion King are still here. I have tuberculosis. I don't know what I have. I have
that's
something
not
that's
funny.
No, it's not funny.
I lost a lung last year.
No, that's not good. Where did you find it?
I saw it upstairs. I think.
Gone.
Yeah. No, I really. I don't. I'm at the tail end of some sort of respiratory funk, and that's the end of it.
That was Steve Cochran would say that was his old band name.
No, that was Bruno Mars' last hit, wasn't it? Respiratory funk.
Boom, boom, boom.
So what do you
boom,
got on the big
boom.
Program if there's no wild animals, which is disappointing?
Not yet, but Kevin is a top-notch producer and is, I'm sure, working on that.
He's booking some petting zoo options.
He's working on elephants right now as we speak from, Aida. No, we are going to have Andy Avalos to talk about this crazy awesome weather that we're having and how long we can expect that to continue beyond the weekend, hopefully.
Unseasonably warm.
And then how old do you think kids need to be before they stay home alone?
12.
Yeah, no, state of Illinois, 14.
Really?
Yeah, we're the highest in the state, and Dane and I are going to talk about how we think that's just completely ridiculous.
Some states, there's no requirement, no restriction. Some states, there are, but nothing is
Let's
Illinois.
Be honest, you can leave an infant. Where are they going?
Right?
They're not going anywhere.
No, until they crawl, they're fine.
Look at Andy. He's like, oh, you always wait too long. Steve, 1 minute too long again?
Well, we're right there, right on the verge.
Well, then I am going to say goodbye. It's been a great week. Thanks to Steve Cochran for letting me sit in on his big broadcast. Thanks to his crew for making me feel welcome all week. And thanks to you for listening and being part of the program.